The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, before you get into the show, which I know you're super excited to hear because every fucking show of Thinking Outside the Long Box is amazing, we want to thank our Patreon supporters, Chad, Ryan, Derek, Doyle, Devin, Taylor, Jason, Steve, and now Christine. Thank you so much for being a part of this show by donating to us on Patreon. If you too would like to support this show and keep it going every other week after every other week, then you can go to patreon.com/TOTLB, where you can get your choice of all sorts of cool bonus videos and awesome prizes like hats and t-shirts, original sketches. I don't know if you guys follow Tim Husky's artwork on Instagram, but one of those original sketches got colored and it was fucking amazing. So join us today at patreon.com/TOTLB. And to those of you who are already subscribed, thank you so much. We appreciate you more than our own assholes.
Holy shit, it's the day before Gabe's 40th birthday and he's doing this bullshit. It's Thinking Outside the Long Box with Juan, Tim, Doyle, and Gabe.
Already.
I could have. Possible. Not saying it didn't happen.
Oh, hey, everybody. Welcome to our post-San Diego Comic-Con episode of Thinking Outside the Long Box. I am Gabe.
I am the baddest mofo low down around this town, Doyle.
Wow. I feel like that was rehearsed.
I'm just Tim. Who's the master? Shit.
You know what I forgot to watch?
Last Dragon. Oh my god, you piece of shit.
I'm Juan, by the way.
The reason he didn't laugh now is it's apparent.
Oh man, that's okay. That's usually what I say.
I was so tired yesterday.
He sold 2.5 cars. Yeah.
2.5 cars. Dude.
He actually had to saw that one car in half.
Yeah.
So was it like two cars and a smart car?
Half a Honda.
That's pretty funny.
When I sewed it on the left side, somebody would get half of an engine.
That'd be weird.
Just, I don't think you'd want the back half. You wouldn't be able to drive it nowhere.
Well, I mean, maybe if you wanted to like make a trailer or something.
Speaking of, we're not staying in a trailer this year.
I know.
Somebody's basement.
Yeah. I kind of liked the trailer vibe.
I thought it was pretty cool, actually.
Is there sex stuff happening?
I'm not going to lie. I didn't mind the trailer.
It's still a thing.
I was like, when did that change? You don't have to be in a trailer for sex stuff to be happening.
I didn't mind the trailer. I just minded how my knee felt in the trailer. So
Tim,
after he got badly injured and wounded from walking...
Walking fast. I was walking fast.
It was brisk. It wasn't even fast.
It was a brisk walk, and I hurt myself.
I know what that's like. I dislocated my knee walking down the street once.
I'm surprised with all the ball injuries you didn't fucking dislocate a ball walking.
You're always walking down the street, my ball fell out.
Surprised too. I was thinking there might be a hole in there.
Oh my god! Yeah. It's like a sock hole when your toe pokes out. You're like, so that's really uncomfortable.
Why are you in the emergency room today? I'm pretty sure I lost a ball.
I suppose if I
had some rocks on it,
my scrotum wide open, I'd be more worried about seeing my vast difference.
Where are they from?
They're from Canada.
Like the other Canadian show.
Which, kind of like Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah.
Except for it's not...
Honestly, I've never seen that one for some reason.
I think that one's fucking hilarious.
It is.
Trailer Park Boys is very
It's
funny.
Not quite as... Well, so let's talk about what we're actually talking about. And we might as well just get started with the show. Okay, so we're talking about this show called Letterkenny that Tim literally pestered me for about 3 months. You gotta watch it. You gotta watch it. You gotta watch it. And so I finally resubscribed to Hulu because my other... television was kind of intermittent, and so I was missing out on a lot of stuff. And one of the first things that popped up was that Letterkenny had just been added to Hulu. So it's like, well, Tim's been pestering me to watch this for months. I better watch it. Holy shit, it's super, super funny. But talking about it being like Trailer Park Boys, it's not quite as like – so that's more like goofy
and like slapsticky. This focuses way more on it. It is goofy and slapsticky, but it's definitely like written really well.
I was
going to
say the 3 or 4 minutes I saw was exactly like it's the first thing that came to my mind.
It's just I
feel
like
two dudes taking their shirts off.
I feel like it's a lot better written.
There's oftentimes 3 dudes.
Yeah. Well, there was 4 dudes, but 2 of them had their shirts off.
The jokes definitely have more to do with what they're saying a lot of the time, which is really, really funny.
I would say Letterkenny's more like the dialogue's more on par with something like you said, Clerks.
Yeah, it's like it's like Smith Canadian Clerks. Dialogue. Like even to the point where they just hang out in front of their stupid like farm cart. That's just where they hang out all the time. Like that's their job, but you literally see no one buy anything from them ever.
It's like Big Lebowski, you never actually see any of the main characters bowl.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was about bowling. You just said that.
Oh, yeah.
Over the line.
Over the line.
That's our next pop culture classic.
I'm so excited.
This is The Big Lebowski. I love that movie.
This is America.
I haven't watched that movie in forever.
It's probably been 10 years.
It has been so long since I've
literally
seen that
watch that movie every single year, like on purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good 420 movie.
That's usually when I watch it. Did anybody else bring anything?
So, to talk about? Nichelle Nichols just got diagnosed with dementia. That's kind of sad.
That is very sad.
So she was...
She's Uhura.
I'm sure I know who it is.
She's Uhura on Star Trek.
Wow.
I
had to stop mid...
name to a face that quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
I literally was about to say something and it fucking left my mind.
Old Uhura.
Old Uhura. Old Uhura. Yeah.
I'm bad with people's actual names. Like I'm good with. The
so she was supposed. San Diego Comic Con was supposed to be her last
appearance.
But she's coming to Colorado Springs, I think.
Really?
Well, she might.
She
not
was
be
coming
that.
To one afterward, but the, I just well, read it this morning that they yet. Just got. She just got diagnosed with dementia,
so. And she didn't like. There was nothing noticeable, you know, talking to her and seeing her, like, interacting with people and stuff. I mean, so.
Plus, they could just keep telling her every con, San Diego Comic Con, and she just goes.
Wow. That's fucked up.
Ryan Reynolds has a really good line in Waiting where he's like, dementia's not so bad. You meet new people every day.
It's called moderate progress dementia.
Dementia is like a super scary thing. Honestly, that's like one of the things I
dread that.
Yeah.
Like if I
to be honest, not joking.
She
about
has
it.
Major like, impairment of her short-term memory and moderate impairment of understanding abstract concepts, sense of time, place, and immediate recall. God, that would be fucking.
That would
horrible.
Be the. Yeah. That's basically my life, though. In a lot of ways, like I have a really shitty short-term memory. Like, and I wonder if.
Me too.
I wonder if that. Like if that compounded with like, because that's something I genuinely dread. I've only done one kind of drug. I just did a lot of it.
All the drugs you did, Dave.
All the drug you did.
All the drug I did in life.
All the pots you've injected.
Well, I mean, I
guess you're the long term study, fucker.
I guess there's a lot of drinking involved too. That probably didn't help much.
You're the control.
Honestly, that probably impacted your brain more than the weed.
What the fuck were we talking about?
From Letterkenny to Uhura's dimension.
Dementia. Well, I thought we were done talking about Letterkenny.
Yeah, no, I know. That was a joke. I was telling a joke.
No, him.
Wait, what are we talking about?
That sucks, though. Like.
She
that
seems so nice.
She is genuinely
I
super
think
nice.
Donald Trump needs to come down with dementia.
You don't think he has dementia?
I'm pretty sure he's
like that guy.
That's why he just keeps tweeting weird shit.
That guy doesn't
like
even,
in the press. He's like, what the fuck?
That guy doesn't even remember that Russia helped him win an election.
No, she seems super super nice. I haven't listened to the audio yet, so I got to get back on that.
Yeah,
but I. So this will come out for all of that shit will be out for sure before this comes out.
I know I've met her at a con. I just can't remember which one. She is a super nice lady.
She was. She was like genuinely like a sweet human being. And like everybody that was around her like exuded that like I'm just honored to like be here with her, which is really cool. At the From the Bridge thing too, it was awesome to watch her win the Inkpot Award too. It was really neat.
A lot of those being thrown around that weekend.
There's always
how many
no, there's always
away.
Like 5 a year, I think. Yeah, they gave one to Kevin Smith for not dying. That was like one of the best lines in Hollywood Babylon when he's talking about how honored he was to get it. And he's like, I'm pretty sure they gave it to me just because I didn't die. Like,
this might be our last chance.
We better give it to this tubby bitch before he fucking dies.
I think that's what he said.
Like, love him or hate him, Kevin's done a fair amount for pop culture.
Oh, do you
think? Recently. I think he was literally on the verge of just being done and quitting. Yeah. And then Comic Book Man came, and then he started kind of not progressing, but I think just doing more and more in the specter of the realm, you know, doing...
I think, too, though, his approach to podcasting and the way he, like, created a podcast network, yeah. Right. You know, and... Like, sure, a lot of it was, like, resting on the laurels of, like, his previous film work, but then he used that to, like, jumpstart and, like, reinvigorate his career by making, like, Red State and then, like, two other terrible movies, you know, that I love. I loved Yoga Hosers. That movie cracked me the fuck up.
I don't want to watch it, but Tusk, honestly... I don't even know how I feel about that movie.
Dude, it's a body horror movie. It's like a David Cronenberg movie.
I liked it in a way that I don't ever want to see it again. Like, I walked out of it and I was like, I don't need to see another Tuskified person ever again, but that was fucked up.
It felt like watching Videodrome, but with jokes. That's what it felt like. It was just weird and gross, and I loved it. Like, I've seen it like 3 times, to be really honest with you.
We know you're Kevin Smith trash.
Yeah. I know. I am. Speaking of Kevin Smith, I watched Hollyweed.
I have not seen that yet.
It is really fucking funny.
I heard it was good.
It is funny.
And it's very, but it's like different. It's different than other Kevin Smith stuff.
It's a little pushed, but that was funny. Maybe that's just because of the pilot.
I think that's a big part of it.
But it was funny still.
I loved it. It made me laugh pretty consistently.
I would like to see it. It's a regular show.
I love his so the plot revolves around they run a dispensary. It's right. Like him and another dude that's like
the guy from the Dave Chappelle show, but I forget his name.
Yeah. He kind of like Smith's character is basically like the scientist nerdy guy that knows how to grow the weed. His friend is like the streetwise guy that knows how to like protect their shit and like sell the weed, right?
So what you're saying is Kevin is a grower, not a shower.
That is exactly what I'm saying. But there's like a bunch of like hilarious scenes where they like startle his partner and he'll just like whip out a shotgun. Like, you know, you know, and there's just there's a ton of like funny jokes that play on like not just their relationship but like race relations and like it's just, I mean, like most Kevin Smith stuff, it's just really well written and comes across as really funny, and giving himself the opportunity to have like a ton of scripted lines I think is a smart move for him.
It was definitely a first.
I haven't seen it, but I did see like somebody posted the clip where they explain away his huge weight loss. At the end of the episode. He's like, man, I just had to fart or something.
No, he's all, man, I just was so gassy when I woke up, and I feel like I took like a 40-pound shit. Yeah.
Like, I saw that clip, I was like, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, it was good times. I liked it. So I went so far as to do the subscribe. You know, like I'd pay. Oh,
damn it. Almost out of battery.
Almost out of battery.
Well, I thought you were going to be like, record any of that.
That's the mistake I made.
I think I forgot my pack back.
How many double A's do you need?
Two.
Okay, I have two upstairs. Okay. Do we want to keep going or take a quick break? Okay.
Fuck it.
If it dies.
If it dies.
Bitch. Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
Never buying you a Coke.
Speaking of which, it's they're redoing the Dolph Lundgren Rocky story, but in Creed 2.
Yeah, that trailer looks really good.
It's getting Dolph, he's Dolphed again.
It looks really good. It's his son.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, Creed was a pretty solid movie, I thought.
It damn near won a fucking Oscar or some shit. This trailer looked really good for the next one.
I loved it. It was as good
as other Rocky movies. Yeah. I can agree with that.
It was better than a lot of the other, pretty much from like four all on. Of them.
Yeah, okay. But I mean, it wasn't as good as like okay. The first
Rocky 1, 2, and 3 are pretty awesome movies.
That's the nostalgia talking to you.
No, like I rewatched one pretty recently. Actually, and that's really good.
I like 3.
2 wasn't bad.
I think 1 is a nostalgia thing, though. I think a lot of why we... I love it, too. Don't get me wrong. I fucking love it.
Honestly, I've seen it this year, too, and I thought it was amazing still. I don't know.
I should clear that. I'm not bashing these films.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying...
Because we're about to set up a ring of box.
You mean a Rocky film?
Ba-ba-ba!
I
don't think you're hungry, too.
Shit.
Got too much to lose, bro.
I'll be the trainer. I'll be that guy. Scrawny, tiny.
Oh, man.
Somehow training a dead boxer to fight.
Dead.
Well, on the inside.
Guy's been dead for a long time.
No, but it looks... I think it looks good.
He died in real life. Probably.
Wow. Huh.
Yikes. He's really old. I mean, just time catches up, you know?
He died doing what he loved, being a grumpy old man.
Yeah.
That's how I plan on dying. Fairly shortly here, now that I'm old.
Next 2 to 3 minutes.
No, we'll get through
the
episode.
He's not even going to get to 40.
That turned into a really sad episode. Come back. This is the emergency room.
Pretty sure
Gabe turned after breakfast.
I would do it.
Pretty sure Gabe's
dead. Mel would probably push me out, but I'd be like, come on, Gabe, say something.
That's when we Facebook Live. Weekend at Bernie Gabe's.
I don't know about you, but I can't pick him up.
No, I probably can't.
I'm just fucking fuck you guys.
I mean, I can do it.
You just don't want to.
Yeah. It wouldn't look so good.
That's not something I want to do.
He's going to start grading you. He's going to start grading your hide, bro.
I know. That is definitely a D. How does the hide grading system work?
He's got a lot of brands.
It's regulated on like how it's branded, where it's branded, if it has tears, if it has marks.
He's got an anal tear.
Things like that. If it was cut off correctly.
But is there like an A, B, C, D, F thing going?
Oh, yeah. Then there's checks and stuff, too. There's like a lot of weird shit.
That's funny.
Because it also like gets weird grades based on if it's a Colorado cow or a California cow or... an Aspen Ridge. Okay, I mean, it's stupid.
This has got to be an amazing part of the podcast for our listeners. It just occurred to me that
Doyle
like,
sells meat.
and leather goods.
And leather goods, apparently.
Well, pre-leather, kind of. Yeah. Just skin.
Dude, that was like...
just skin.
It's a horror show, by the way.
Yeah. Dude, it's fucking gross.
Like,
looking.
I counted, like, the pallets. Like, there's, like, 30 pallets in the
That's
first
not
picture.
All of it either.
No, I figured as much.
Like, it genuinely looked like the set of Hellraiser or something. Like it was so fucking
like,
nasty.
Hundreds of... like dead cow.
Thousands of
it's like hairy, bloody
thousands of dead cow.
Piles of hairy, bloody skin on pallets. It's like,
yeah. Did it smell? We never answered that question.
Honestly, everything from here is just gone.
Like, I've been around it too much. Yeah.
It's all burned out.
Yeah. I got no more nasal cavities.
That just looked like a fucking nightmare, brother.
It wasn't the coolest day I've ever had.
So, let's see, what else do I got? So, I watched a bunch of movies, like in the theater. I signed up, you had talked to me about signing up for that movie club thing, at the Cinemark, and like the discounts you get and stuff were really awesome, so I signed up for it too. So, nice. We've actually seen a bunch of movies. We went and saw...
Not the movie pass, though, because that's going out of business.
No, not movie pass. Yeah, that's a
what
nightmare.
What did you sign up for?
The movie club, yeah. Like the Cinemark movie club. So, it's specific to... It's specific to the Cinemark.
Yeah.
You only get one ticket free a month, but they give you like discounted tickets and then like a pretty serious discount at the concession stand.
The other one, what are the other ones? The other big...
There's an Alamo Drafthouse one
What's the theater? The big... They're everywhere. What the fuck is the name
AMC?
Of it? AMC has their own too. I think it's like three or four movies a month. But they have the money to sustain
and
that.
They also have limiters. Mine's like $9 a month.
And you get a free movie ticket?
Yeah.
You're just buying a movie ticket in advance.
You buy you're basically buying an advanced discount movie ticket
and
because like $8.90.
Yeah.
And every you can get two discounted movie tickets every time you go to the theater. So, like, and they're, like, basically a buck off. So that saves you quite a bit. And then the discount at the concession is like, 20% off. So it's, like, it's a pretty serious discount. So, like, the amount of money that we've saved on going to movies has basically allowed us to go to, like, an extra movie a month. Right. So
that's pretty cool.
Movie Pass was good. It was a good thought, but then you I think the money, you needed to pay a little bit more money for it.
Because what was MoviePass?
It was $9.99 a month, and you could see one brand new movie every single day for free.
Like, it absolutely had to be like $25 a month.
That doesn't make sense at all.
It needed to be more money. More money or less movies, or just be like 10 or 5, you know what I mean? It just doesn't... Now they're dicking around and they ran out of money, so people who have subscriptions already were going to the movie theaters and were trying to swipe the little... Because it comes up with a credit card almost that they load. You tell it what movie you want to see and when, and then they put the amount of money that needs to be put on the card, and then you go swipe it, so you essentially see for free. But they ran out of money for like 2 or 3 days, and nobody could use the service for that long. It's just not... I think they went a little too overboard.
$10 a month and a free movie every day.
There are people who will do that shit too.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah, don't say I can see a movie every day.
That's what ran it into the ground. Like, if it was so, what they've tried to do is limit which movies you can see. Like, you can't see a movie until it's been out for like 2 weeks or something like that. And then I think they're talking about limiting how many movies you can see too.
They're doing a lot of weird shit. I don't know why. They should have done tiers. I think that would have made more sense. At $10, you could see 3 movies a month or whatever it is. It just generates
like
more
the
money
old,
for
like
you.
Like the old Netflix, like where you could see, you could rent 3 at a time for like $10 or 4 at a time for $15.
In a weird way. Does anyone have less than the best Netflix?
I don't have Netflix.
Okay, I do.
So I only have streaming. I don't get the
Blockbuster used to do
movies
it.
Anymore.
That was cool as fuck.
That was the only thing wrong in that weird article. The article that you wrote. Where you were like the DC price tags or whatever.
Oh, the DC universe.
Yeah, Netflix is like $15 a month now.
Yeah.
If you want the top tier.
But I don't know if anyone gets the less than the top tier.
He just said that's what he does.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Because it's $7 or $8, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like $7 or $8. We just do streaming, and you can set up.
I just do streaming too, though, and mine doesn't have DVDs really included.
I don't mind.
But you're probably getting like the 4K Netflix.
Maybe it's supposed to.
Netflix just got out of notice.
Well, because there's like the
maybe 8, I was wrong.
There's like the 8 something a month, and it gets you like 2 accesses, and the 4K stream, and then like the top dog one is for like more than like 2.
I'll look games. Into that
because
I don't ever.
Yeah,
watch
because
on one of 2 screens.
For my thing is basically if I'm watching one and the kids are watching one, nobody else can watch it.
Yeah.
But that's plenty, exactly.
I'm the only one who uses my
if anybody can
for like 80 people.
If one of the kids is complaining about it, we're like, dude, just watch something on Hulu. Like, what the fuck? Like,
well, I used to pay $25 a month for the Blockbuster version before Netflix came around. And it was 3 movies that they would mail to you, and then you could unlimited. Like you could do it as many times as you want, but they'd mail you 3 movies. And then you could go to the store and return those 3 movies
and get three new movies.
And then, you know, once that's happening, they'll mail you your next 3 movies that are in the queue. So it was actually way worth it. I would pay more money for it. That's the thing is, but they're jacking around with the subscribers and they're changing things. And it's just,
I've been shafted since those days because I would get like movies and then never return for 5 months.
Well, that's what they're hoping.
I did that shit.
That they don't have to send you more movies.
It was so funny, like, you know, when Netflix was first a thing and it was just DVDs, we would watch shows, you know, and you would get... I watched all of West Wing that way, right?
It took me and Bobby, I think, like 6 months to watch Berserk.
Yeah.
Because the damn DVDs were checked out every time. We're like, watch this anime.
My favorite was one time I got like West Wing, like, you know, season 3, disc 1, season 3, disc 2, and season 3, disc 4. And I watched like one. I sent it back. I was like, I got to get disc 3, but it was like out. Like, and somebody had it. So I just had disc 4 sitting there for like a month. Waiting for some asshole to return, like, apparently the one copy of the other one that they had. That was the other thing, is I was always trying to get, like, these weird, like, stupid obscure movies that I read about in some hidden dark corner of the internet, and they would have a copy of it that some guy, like, checked out from Netflix and never returned because he couldn't find it to buy, you know? So
that's why I never liked Netflix to begin with, because all of the... when it first started, I don't have Netflix now, but when it first started becoming a thing, you could find most every show and shit like that, but you couldn't find any major movie. All the movies were, you had to order them through DVD and shit like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to pay for this nonsense.
It's gotten a lot better. And there's a ton of, like in the streaming especially, there's a ton of original stuff that's really good. Yeah.
Impact. I've been watching a lot of exclusive movies lately, actually. And
they're pretty good. Like, what's like?
Well, they have a lot of money.
How It Ends is amazing.
And like Ghost, Google Ghost has a lot something. Of money, bro. What is it called? Like Ghost something, where that it's like a team of like special ops, like literally fighting this like alien race that's invisible.
Oh, that's not called Ghost, but I know you're talking about.
Dude, that movie is really cool.
Well, you got to go to fucking Impulse, Singularity, the Impulse here. Panel, and the what was the other one with Tom Yelton? Fuck, I cannot remember.
Origin. Impulse and Origin. Yeah, yeah. But those are two YouTube.
YouTube originals.
And those are YouTube originals. Right. But those are awesome looking. And like Origin, like I'm seriously considering picking up YouTube, like Red or whatever it's called, for like a month just to watch the first season of Origin. Like that looks awesome.
Felton, not Yelton, right? God, all my names are all fucked up today.
I never even talked about the movies that I watched. It just occurred to me.
A lot of them.
So we went and saw Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Oh, that was good. I liked it.
It was okay. Like
it was. We talked about it before. For me, it was essentially Lost World for the first half of the movie, and then something different.
It was like, it was weird. It was almost like, it was less a dinosaur movie and more like a crime drama almost. And that was kind of strange. I didn't mind it, but I kind of like where they're expanding the idea where there's going to be dinosaurs like all over the world. And it's literally going to be the Jurassic
World. Well, see, I don't really understand that because it only looked like there was like five dinosaurs that were let out at the end of the movie.
Life finds a way.
Well, they're not going to breed. What are they going to breed with, dogs?
With other dinosaurs,
life finds a way.
I think life would find a way to shoot those motherfuckers. Chains of rockets and shit. They touch base in like Texas, they start getting RPGs.
Went and saw Ant-Man and the Wasp. Actually saw that twice.
I like that movie.
Went with my wife to see it, and then took the older kids to see it. I dug it. I actually liked it almost as much as the first one. And the second time I watched it, I actually liked it a ton better because there was a lot of little subtle things that I had missed the first time I saw it. And it's good. I think it's funny.
I love Ghost. Like, she's probably my new favorite villain.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool idea. I'm
excited to see them pursue her more in the films.
And I'm excited to see, like, where they go with the Ant-Man being in the quantum realm when Thanos snaps his finger thing and
how that all works together. Like, the movie's just a barrel of laughs, and then that after credits scene, you're like, oh yeah. Everybody's dead. Like, you just, it's like sitting through, like, a really great comedy, and then, like, murder.
And that's a spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
For a movie that came out, like, 2 months ago, and by the time this...
Spoilers.
It has not been out for 2 months.
By the time this comes out,
it's been out for a long time. How long has it been out for now?
It's been out for like a month and a half now.
It has not been out for 2 weeks.
Dude, it has not been out for 2 weeks.
I might have missed this. It's been out long enough, and plus this episode's not coming out for another 2 weeks.
I didn't even know it was out.
The only thing I didn't quite
You're at work way too long, sir.
The only thing I didn't quite get about the movie is...
Oh, shit. Cops are coming.
Popo. They heard they got some Mexicans down here. Is Hank Pym's wife suddenly having like this weird superpower from the quantum realm? That was weird to me.
Well,
but I don't know.
Stuck there for like.
I don't know a lot about her character anyway. Period. But I thought that was a little.
But she was stuck there like forever, and like she even says that when he's like, "How did you do that?" She's like, "This being here changes you. Like it changes how you work."
Kind of a throwaway line, but I'm excited to see if they're going to do more with that as well.
Well, I mean, that's why he went back to the quantum realm, was to get more of that healing energy so they could figure out something to do with it. It came out the 6th of July, so it has literally been out for like a month and a half almost.
All right. So I just really shit on that one, right? I'll be watching Meg right away, though.
Dude, we're going to see that tonight. I'm so excited to
Giant
see it.
Monster.
That's I what read I'm that using in high school. That's why I was like, yeah,
that's what I'm using my free ticket for this month, is to go see Meg for my birthday. The last movie that I saw, and this is far and away the most surprisingly fun movie that we could have gone to see. We went to see Teen Titans Go. Like
the cartoon.
Yeah, Teen Titans Go to the movie. Holy fuck, that is like one of the funniest movies I've seen.
The show's funny.
There's an amazing Stan Lee cameo where he like runs on screen. He's all, "Hey, true believers, it's me, Stan Lee." And somebody runs up to him and is like, he goes, "This is a DC movie? I am out of here." I mean, there's so many good jokes. Like they talk about, there's a moment with the Justice League where you know, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern are all just like right there. And Superman's like, "Yeah, I've had many great movies throughout the years. Like that's what superheroes do." Because it's about the Teen Titans trying to get legitimacy by being in a movie. Okay. So Superman's like, "Yeah, there's been tons of great Superman movies. Like, that's what proves that you're a superhero." And Batman's like, "I'm Batman." And Wonder Woman's like, "They finally made a great movie about me, too." And Green Lantern goes, "There's a Green Lantern movie. We don't talk about it." I mean, there's a ton of, like, just kind of inside baseball jokes that are really, really good. And it was just a super entertaining movie. And it made my 7-year-old giggle relentlessly, which is always awesome. So
you filled in a lot more.
Yeah, that's how I do.
I've also watched a lot of movies, just not in theaters. But saw
Footloose.
Yes. I was like, "I'm waiting for you to tell me a movie that's like 15 fucking years old."
No.
This movie that just came out a month ago called Ant-Man.
Yeah. The first one.
The first one.
I finally saw Deadpool 2.
Iron Man. 15 years later.
The super late Deadpool 2 watch, which just happened like a few days ago.
Oh, that movie's funny as fuck.
Yeah, it is. I can't believe they made Juggernaut a mutant again.
Who cares?
He's not supposed to be a mutant, motherfucker.
Yeah, but who cares? It's fun to watch.
It was fun to watch. It was good, too.
Like when he fangirls out about Juggernaut, and then Juggernaut just rips him in half.
Well, I don't get his... There's no reason for Juggernaut to hate him at that moment. Yeah, in the movie, he's just like, "I'm going to rip you in half." I was like, you could just walk around him, Juggernaut.
I think it's just because he talks so much.
I mean, I think Juggernaut was also played by Ryan Reynolds, right? Am I wrong?
No, he's played by Guy Ritchie.
Okay. Because Ryan Reynolds...
Not Guy Ritchie. Wrong. What's his name?
Because Reynolds does two different roles.
Vinny Jones.
I can't remember what the other one is.
Oh, maybe he does. I don't know.
The only thing Vinny Jones does is bad guys.
Yeah,
that's... I love when he opens up the floorboard too to get his cocaine and the cure for blindness is in there, like he had, like it's in the first movie. Right? I was like, it's real.
I also like how he takes the cocaine.
Yeah.
He just puts it in his mask and punches it.
Poof. Oh, that was a funny movie.
Watched the Annihilation too. That movie was actually
Mortal Kombat?
Really good.
No.
I
still
we don't talk about that movie. So bad. So fucking bad.
The other Annihilation is probably one of the best movies I've seen in a long time, I thought.
Yeah.
Which is weird because I heard nothing about that fucking movie.
Is that the, what's your name movie?
Natalie Portman movie?
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
So I haven't seen it, but that's amazing. The one that, that's the writer that Jason was talking about. Like the, not the last time we were at Hall of Justice, but the time before he was... Or maybe it was even the year-end wrap-up episode. He was talking about these novels that he was reading, and one of them was the novel that Annihilation is based on, or it was by the same writer or something.
Yeah, I know.
I guess he writes just like crazy, crazy books.
I haven't read it, and I'm going to read it. There's a fucked up inside-out bear that makes the noise of their screaming friend when it's coming after them. Like, that's the noise that comes out of its mouth.
Oh, I need to see this movie.
It killed their friend, and then what's coming after them, the noise that comes out of his mouth is like her dying scream. I'm like, that's the most fucked up thing. It'd be like if somebody murdered Juan and then came after us. Dude. And it was just Juan going, "I'm going to cut that out of the show."
I'm going to cut it out of the show! That is truly horrifying.
That would be funny. I'm fucking sweating down here.
It is a little hot. I am wearing sweatpants.
Yeah.
You're always wearing like the worst possible thing for the situation. Like
I'm constantly in a freezer and I forget every time I go out of my house that I'm not going
like
there.
Like Free Comic Book Day when you're wearing like a big ass poncho.
Well, that was on purpose. Yes, but it kept me from getting sunburned.
It was because it was Cinco de Mayo, bro. He had to represent.
You can just wear like a brown pride hat or something. Like, you don't have to wear like an outright poncho.
People think he works for the UPS or the
Why not UPS? I would love to deliver mail on a poncho. I bring yours down. Yes.
We're the new brown.
I came over the border with the package. Thank you for paying the extra insurance on this evening.
That's
less rocky than last time.
Speaking of vaguely racist, saw the first two episodes of Cloak and Dagger.
That's another show that I hadn't heard about at all, and it's like the whole first season's over.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, so far it's really good.
Why is it vaguely racist?
It's not really vaguely racist.
The black guy has dark power, and the white girl has,
White power.
It's one of those things that wasn't thought out when they introduced it forever ago.
It was definitely thought out. Like, it's meant to be, like, a commentary on race relations in the comic book, but it's done, like, so fucking ham-fistedly that it's, like... You know, like when somebody's trying to explain to you that they're not racist and everything they say sounds more and more racist, pointing at Doyle.
I know 3 to 4 black people. Usually.
Are you on Twitter?
What?
Are you on Twitter? I can't remember.
Probably, but I never use it.
So I did the... because jumping into another subject,
did you release the
Idris Elba thing that they're saying he might be the next Bond, and then they said somebody spoke too fast and blah, blah, blah. And so we've set it up to where when I post something on Facebook, it goes to Twitter, and John Still said, not Doyle. Because I was like, we all agree with this sentiment, so hashtag not Doyle.
Well, fuck you, John. But anyway, not your real name. Actually, I think he'd be a badass Bond, though.
I think he would be fucking amazing.
Dude, we have talked about, like, what's funny is we've talked about this every year for, like, the last, like, 2.5 years.
The Dark Tower, which was not a good representation of those books, but his character was still badass.
Right.
See, that's the thing. I don't know anything about the books, so I thought the movie was just fine.
The movie's okay, like, if you...
Albert in that Luther show.
Absolutely. That show's amazing.
He's just a great actor. Bond. I don't give a fuck what the rest of it is.
He's a great deadpan actor.
So here's what's...
I don't know if he could do, like, a wildly emotional acting job.
No, but he doesn't...
You need to watch Luther then, because that's exactly what he's doing the entire fucking show.
Dude, he's...
It just seems like he has that one face. It's a perfect... I love him. I think he's great.
It is a pretty perfect face.
Yeah.
But, to be fair...
Hashtag wood smash. To be fair.
To be fair. It is like, Bond. You don't need a whole lot of...
That's what I'm saying. I think he'd be great as Bond.
Yeah.
Like... Oh, what was I going to say? So, with The Dark Tower, The Dark Tower is a good movie divorced from the book series in the same way Constantine is a good movie divorced from the comic books.
Yeah. Like, I don't know anything about the book, so...
So, yeah. So, like,
oh, this is cool.
Being a big fan of The Dark Tower series, I was like, okay, this is a good movie, but this is the fucking worst adaptation possible of these books. Like, so, I mean, it is what it is, though. Like, it's... I dug it. It was all right.
I give it a solid... All right.
All right.
I'd watch it again.
I bought it. It was all right.
Glow season 2. Watched all of that.
Any Glow
yet. Seen the first episode.
Loved it.
Love with it again.
It's really, really good. The end, the kind of quote-unquote cliffhanger ending is that they're going to get a Vegas show for the next season, which should be really awesome. Like, nice. I'm excited to see it. So
Mark Maron and anything pretty much has been sold.
Dude, that guy cracks me the fuck up.
I'm trying to catch up on Mr. Mercedes because I have 2 episodes of the next season waiting for me that have never been released except for to the press.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to catch up so that I can watch those 2 and kind of do a review on it. But that, if you haven't seen Mr. Mercedes, that is a fucked up show.
I haven't even heard of it.
It's good.
It's like the adaptation of the Stephen King novel.
Yeah. Nice. It is. It's good. It's fucking weird.
What's that on?
What is it on? Man, I think it's on. I think it's on
AMC or something like
it's
that.
It's on some weird show network I've never heard of before, but I cannot remember what it is now.
Check it out.
I think Stephen King's Castle Rock is coming.
Yeah,
that's on Hulu. Started coming out. Yeah,
it's pretty good.
I can't remember. Also, Outcast
season 2 finally fucking came out with no ads or anything. They were just like, we delayed this shit forever, and then just. Get back.
Mr. Mercedes, though, holy shit, the dude, the bad guy, because I love the fact that, like, in a lot of older movies, you would typically not ever get the perspective of the bad guy, of the villain, of the show or the movie. You would just get the good guy's perspective of the bad guy. And what I love about what's going on now is you get half of the show is dedicated to why the bad guy is the way he is. And so you get to see his mom, like rape him. Not like – you don't get to see it, but, like, she's sexually abusive to him. And
it's kind of creepy it's really weird. Were both excited by that as opposed to appalled.
It's really fucking, fucking weird. It's crazy. Yeah. But you get to see why he's so fucking insane. And I love it. I don't know the name of the Irish actor who – the main
it's
guy.
It's like Brandon Gleeson or something like that.
I think
that.
That's who it is. But he's great too. The whole show is good. If you haven't seen it, it's really dark. So if you don't like dark things,
don't watch.
Because the mom literally tries to jack off the son every time she gets. So it's fucking crazy. But it's a good show. I definitely recommend watching it.
Every episode.
Incidentally, it's on the Audience Network.
There you go. I was like, gonna say, I've never heard of it either. So, until they were like, "Hey, Mr. Mercedes," and then we started covering it, and it's a good show. I definitely recommend it.
Season two
is about to come out, but they sent the.
That seems like it'd be such a harder show to do to me than The Mist, which they can't get right to save their fucking life.
Which is
one of my favorite things ever. They just fail, and
it's like
over
the easiest story to tell,
yeah,
dude.
It's a Mist. It's scary. And they fuck it up every time.
I don't know. I do love the movie.
The movie's awesome.
The movie is awesome in its own way.
I mean, it's not exactly an adaptation of The Mist, but I love that movie.
The ending is brutal as fuck.
Dude, My friend Steve and I.
Spoiler.
I think you went. I think you went. You went with us
last week. The Mist.
We all went to see The Mist together.
I believe so.
And that. You know, when we all go to the movies, we get done, we stand outside, right. We chit-chat about the movie or whatever. We all got done with The Mist. We all stood outside, and, like, the only comment anybody had was, dude, the end of that was fucked up. Like, I mean,
you didn't see it going.
You definitely didn't. It was amazing.
I don't know. I feel like historically, like, crime kind of drama thrillers have done really well. Because they're able to be flushed out a little bit more than horror movies.
But no.
Nobody gets tired of who is it that murdered this person.
Yeah.
And why. And the disgusting, gory, titillating details behind said murder. Like, that's why crime podcasts are so wicked popular. Like, that's always something that people are into.
Most of them are so boring, too.
I know, I can't do half of them.
I like that stuff like that, too.
If people aren't funny, I can't listen to their show. Like, that's what I've decided.
I can if it's really good. Like, Tannis-level quality.
That's different.
Kind of captures me.
Well, like, see, that's what I don't understand about horror podcasts. To me, horror is a visual medium. I need to see
man.
For me.
Night Vale or, like, Tannis, like... Listening to what's happening as like an audio drama, it fills your mind with like what they're going through.
Dude,
and it's
the perfect comment to like when I first listened to the Black Tapes, I was like 10 issues or 10 podcasts in. And I was like, is this shit fucking real?
Yeah, there was.
Because they don't tell you it's fake.
Like,
it's fucking detailed. It's like interviews and every voice is different. And like the questions seem real. And I was just like.
And like the responses seem real. Like the first time I listened to the Black Tapes, I got finished with like maybe the second episode and then did like a mad scramble on the internet. Like literally, is the Black Tapes real or fake?
Yeah.
And it took me a good 45 minutes on the internet to find, like, a straight answer on that.
Because all the fucking characters have Facebook pages and shit.
Yeah, dude, it's seriously fleshed out, detailed show. And I like Tannis even better.
I do
like,
too.
I mean, because it's
just... It took me a while for that to happen, but I do.
Oh, dude, it's...
And the last episode.
It's just weird to me. For me, horror is always.
I would genuinely give it
medium.
A chance sometime when you have like time to just listen. Mm-hmm. Like, it can't be background noise. Like, it has to be something you're actually kind of focused on.
Yeah, you'll miss details if it is.
Let's see. I got two trailers written down. The Venom trailer, the new one, looks pretty good. Actually, vaguely excited to see that.
It looked better than the first one.
It did. Sure. And Tom Hardy is
like
seeing three symbiotes.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
And then the Godzilla trailer.
Oh, the Godzilla trailer.
So hard.
That trailer got my dick so hard.
Yeah.
That was the one that came out during San Diego.
During San Diego.
When I saw those Mothra wings coming up, I was like...
It was a beautiful Like, aside from visually, looking good, visually, it was a really pretty looking trailer.
The music was actually pretty stellar.
Millie Bobby Brown being cast in it, that was kind of a surprise with that trailer.
About her at all from that trailer, besides that she's a little girl that is running away from dying.
And she but somehow has a connection to him. Like,
yeah, I picked that up, but I don't even know if that's 100% true, but I hope it probably is.
And then she left social media.
Maybe she's the singing Chinese. Like
she, that's what I was going to say. She's the controller of Mothra.
It seems like she's maybe the daughter of the chick that's like, we should let them all loose and fuck everything up. Woman.
Yeah.
Let them fight. No one would ever say that in real life.
No.
But
how do we stop them? Let's just back off and let them fight.
I would say that. Yeah. I'd be like, let me get my phone out. Yeah. Let them fight.
No government.
Let them fight.
Turning into that weird character from Sons of Anarchy who just beats off uncontrollably. Beating off right now? Can't help it. It's nervous tick.
It's such a weird show.
Or the random guy in Green Inferno or whatever. That Eli Roth movie.
I haven't seen that yet.
There's like
the cannibal movie, right?
Yeah, there's like this random clip where like one of the guys just starts jerking off in their little prison cage. It's like, I need to relieve stress. It's like, you just watched your buddy get fucking eaten and you're going to jerk off?
Yeah, that sounds like an Eli Roth movie.
Yeah, it was really
horrible.
Yeah, it was a bad movie.
What else? What else does people have? Because the rest
there
of
there have been a lot of controversies with social medias lately.
Sure. Yeah,
I don't know anything about those.
Millie Bobby Brown. No, not with yours.
I'm just saying in general. I don't know anything about controversy.
I was like, Tim's fighting with somebody. Whatever.
I think Millie Bobby Brown left everything except for Instagram.
Yeah,
and then people were bullied. I guess the new Flash suit came out, and people were saying Grant Gustin looked unhealthily skinny, and he told them to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, because he doesn't look unhealthy at all. Literally saw him a couple weeks ago.
And then Ruby Rose, the new Batwoman. Yeah,
the new Batwoman.
She left everything as well because people have been giving her shit for being cast as the new Batwoman.
Which is insane to me because
I don't know nothing. That's the weird thing is I don't even know anything about the character. I'm just excited that she's going to be here.
I got tired of hearing every time I heard her introduced as it in any kind of medium, it was like the new lesbian Batwoman. And I was like, I don't care about it. I mean, it's cool that she is that.
But it's not like that's not 100% important. Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, I get that you would do that for her character, but like you seem to be focusing on the lesbian aspect of this a lot.
I mean, the comic does focus on it a lot.
That's fine.
But it doesn't have to be.
That to me is what you see when you watch the show, and then you're like, oh, she's a lesbian character.
So
cool.
I think we've had this conversation before where we all, I assume, we all generally are okay with any of that stuff. It becomes a little ham-fisted when you say that. Like, oh, we're going to put the newest biracial gay character in there. Who cares? Just let it be. Like, just
to
he's
movie,
just there.
That movie Annihilation, it's an all-girl team of scientists.
And they never talk
never
about it.
You never heard that. And it was really cool in the movie.
And
whereas Ghostbusters, I felt ham-fisted the shit out of it.
Right.
And that's kind of exactly what you're saying. Like, she's a lesbian character. So just let that reveal itself in the show.
Yeah.
You see her kiss her girlfriend and you go, oh, okay, that makes sense. And then that's the end of it.
It's definitely like a spoiler because fucking, like, the average person, I mean, everybody knows there's like a fuckload of like bat people.
Correct.
But nobody knows that there's like a, you know,
a lot of people don't.
Not like a super popular character by any means. So like the average person who's going to pick up the DC streaming service to watch this bullshit is going to be like,
it's just, you never do it on the opposite side, so why would you do it here? It's not like the heterosexual Flash coming back for season 4.
It shouldn't matter. And I think in general for people like in our age range and down, that kind of thing doesn't matter because we all know somebody that's gay and we're not like, hey, this is my gay friend. Well, I mean,
this is my black friend. Yeah, I can see he's black fucker.
Yeah. What? I mean, I do have to explain it with Steve because he stays inside a lot. So.
Unless they're going out of way to like immediately oust like the super conservative viewer.
Which I don't think you would ever do.
I know,
That'll only make it worse because some like ridiculous like group is going to latch onto the show and be like, "We're gonna boycott all of their advertisers and talk about it on Facebook." And it's like, who cares?
That's the other thing is like it's obnoxious to me that you put it as part of your marketing scheme, but whatever. But because you put it as part of your marketing scheme, now I got to hear it
everywhere on every internet blog. Everything I read about it, they're going to poke
like,
at that.
In positive and negative light. Like, this, you know, this is the greatest step for lesbians ever, and this is why our culture is falling apart. Like, you just, that's all you hear about instead of the thing that I'm actually interested about. What plot line from New 52 are they going to use? Are they going to use the amazing...
Are they going to go farther back than that?
Yeah, are they going to go back into the Detective Comics? Or are they going to go even further back? That's messed up. They're probably not going to do that. I but just, like genuinely, the... Oh, sorry. The first trade of Batwoman in New 52, she has to fight living embodiments of urban legends. And it's like one of the fucking coolest runs of comics ever. And that's what I actually give a shit about. Like,
I'm for me personally, as a Hispanic, as a Mexican, I would rather...
As a heterosexual.
Oh, you are? Well, as a heterosexual.
As a heterosexual Mexican.
As in anything, I would rather you say that guy... That Hispanic in that show or movie is great because his character is great.
Not because
he's a Mexican. Exactly. You know, not because she's a lesbian. She's great at being Batwoman. You know, that's what she... I'm sure that's what she wants people to say, too, you know?
Yeah. I think we're going to just start calling Juan a Mexisexual.
We had this conversation forever ago. If you're going to do it, do it. But don't do it for the sake of doing it.
Yeah, just...
As far as, like, inclusion goes.
That's...
Like, obviously, it's a good thing. You don't need to, like, advertise that, because...
Everybody's going to know the first episode. Let it happen.
Like, I don't remember Sarah Lance. I don't remember them being like, hey, she's a lesbian. I just remember her kissing women and dating women and men. Like, I don't remember that. Like, yeah, I don't remember that being some kind of announcement. It just happened.
And because none of my lesbian friends announced to me, hey, by the way, I'm a lesbian. You're just hanging out with them one day and they're like, this is my girlfriend. Yeah. You're like, oh, all right. Like, duh, why didn't I put that shit together?
As long as you're not Henry Cavill, you can pick up on that.
Yeah. Slash have your mustache removed.
Side note, he did really good in Mission Impossible. So.
Oh, man.
I like Mission Impossible is a good movie. That's like one of the movies that the longer it keeps going, the better it keeps getting.
The first
Fallout.
Fallout, the new one.
You've already lost game.
It's not just that. Like,
Henry Cavill's a good bad guy.
I've seen...
I almost said Batman.
I think I've seen the first...
He would be.
I think I've seen the first three Mission Impossible.
You've seen maybe the worst.
And I just...
Except for the first
one. I love the first one.
Yeah, the first one's great, but two and three...
Every single one of them, I'm just like, that was a movie. Like, they don't... It's not even that, like, yes, I hate Tom Cruise. And that's totally beside the point.
I think number three came out like 10, 15 years ago.
No, that's what I'm saying. Just... The three...
These missions don't seem all that impossible.
Like, the three in a row that I saw, I was just kind of like... I mean, they're okay, I guess. And so by the time the next one came out, I was like, I don't want to spend money on that. Like, it's just not interesting to me.
Sure. Well, the first, like, three, I don't think are canon to one another, per se. And then it's like the fourth one picks up where the third one ends. And you're like, okay, now that we're kind of establishing a universe... And then from there on, like, everyone, each movie builds on
it. It is pretty cool.
Zero interest in committing to a fourth movie for the story to start up, just so you know.
Well, don't watch one through three again.
No, that's what I already have, but there's no way.
Honestly, with Mission Impossible, the first one has a Saw-like effect on me, where I was like, that twist was pretty unique and interesting, and then I didn't give a shit about any of the other movies after that.
Genuinely,
the first Saw did that to me, too. I was like... I did not see that coming. I did not give a shit about any of the other movies after that.
The first Mission Impossible movie, I do know I had to see it in the theater twice because I did not fucking understand the end. Like, the first time I saw it, I must have, like, fallen asleep or something for, like, a couple minutes and just, like, got to the end and was like, what?
That was in my experience, like, the first 10 times I watched Donnie Darko, I was like, what the fuck happened in that movie?
The first 10 times.
Should we talk about Tim fucking picking fights with people on the internet?
No, we shouldn't.
And it'll just...
But I think it's funny.
It is funny.
It makes me laugh.
If you
want to
hear about Tim picking fights on the internet with assholes, go check it out. It's not like I got
a post. I thought he was an asshole.
People are yelling at you about the First Amendment, too.
Never mind.
First Amendment.
Yeah, wasn't that you? The freedom of speech thing?
Oh, yeah. Freedom of speech is like freedom of consequence.
that was you too. Like within a week, I think.
Like, what's hilarious is the dude that, like,
I never get yelled at on Facebook, by the way.
You point out a little bit of truth and people go fucking.
Side note, I completely agree with you. I think Facebook and Twitter should be able to kick off him. Whoever the fuck they want to kick. Well, those are two different instances.
Oh, sorry.
Two different instances.
So I made a comment that, like, freedom of speech is obviously protected, but not
freedom from consequence.
Well, not on privately owned servers.
Not anywhere except for by the government, like, telling you can't say that.
You're perfectly welcome to go down to the bus stop and say you hate Jews. But the moment you post you hate Jews on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram,
Twitter,
any of these privately owned media outlets,
they can kick
off. You're going to get fucking banned and kicked off.
It's part of the terms of service that you agreed to.
Exactly.
And just because they're big, and just because Facebook and Twitter have some kind of power over fucking I don't even know what, like, it doesn't matter. You're not immune from your bullshit statements.
Yeah.
Like, you're not. You're
just
make
a new one. And keep hating Jews till they find you, and then make a new one.
It's what the Russians do.
It's the same reason why, like, it's your legal right to own a gun, and in many states carry it concealed if you want to, but if you're not allowed to bring it into a building. Tough shit. You can't bring it into the building.
And if you want to complain about it, like, the building manager says, do you own this building?
Yeah.
Well, then fuck off.
And,
like,
I work security at the CenturyLink home office over there in Littleton. And we had a PI come into the lobby, and I saw he had a gun. I was like, you need to take that gun and put it in your car. So he goes, well, I'm a licensed private detective. I was like, that's nice. You're not a cop. Get your gun out of the building, or I will call real police.
And they will really arrest you.
You're just like, this is bullshit. I have a license to carry. This is private property. I can still call the police. I'm picking up the phone now. You have about 3 seconds to get out of my lobby and come back in without your weapon.
Like, it's just people just don't – like, if they kicked Alex Jones off of Facebook, boohoo. Like, you can be mad.
And they didn't
There's nothing wrong with you being mad.
Show. They just got rid of him.
There's nothing wrong with you being mad. It's okay. That's your freedom to say whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have a Facebook profile no more. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, bud. He could just make a fucking new one.
Obviously.
Facebook bans like the easiest. They don't give a shit. They're just like, yes.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, I know. The official, unofficial Alex Jones.
The Gay Frog fan page. I don't know.
So he picked a fight with that guy. Well, I don't know. So here's the weird thing. The guy who was sitting with you at Colorado Springs Comic Con, No, not at the next table. The guy literally sitting with you. He's Hispanic too. Fuck, I can't remember. I don't know his name.
I'm pretty
sure
he's not Hispanic.
Is he not Hispanic?
He's just dark.
At Denver?
Yeah.
That was.
Maybe it was Denver.
That was. Oh, God damn it. That was Josh. He's Asian.
Okay. So
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure
he literally. I look at some of the things he tells you, and I'm like, I don't think that guy's Tim's friend. Like,
oh, you're talking about Joaquin. He was also at Denver. He's a troll, kind of like Dom. And, God damn it, who else am I thinking of?
Ryan.
It took me a while to get used to Dom. I was like, is Dom fucking talking shit to me? Like, I gotta drive down
to the park. He loves to play devil's advocate, even on shit that he's personally dealing with.
I'm like, that guy sounds like kind of a fucking asshole. I don't want to be friends with that guy.
No, he loves playing devil's advocate, because he doesn't agree with all that shit, but he's like, To be fair. Here's a point that the other side would
fuck you, Tim. Say.
Yeah, I think Tim just likes picking fights on Facebook.
Lately. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But if you do something fucking ignorant or stupid, I'm going to call you out on it. Sorry, bud.
And the other one, like, and we don't need to mention names.
I'll mention his name.
You don't need to.
But I will.
It's not worth it, because then he'll come comment on all of our stuff.
I don't care. I'll delete it.
It'll be the
I own my Facebook profile.
It'll just be the most obnoxious thing to deal with, though. Like,
side note, I deal with it. Not you.
He's coming.
He's notorious for that.
I like that.
When I said he's been banned from three groups, like, I knew which three groups.
And then
he's
narcissistic ways, like, I don't recall ever being banned from three groups.
Then Keith was like, no, this is why you got fucking kicked out of our group, man. Like,
from what I understand, when he made that post that I called him out on in that other group, That whole comment thread immediately got toxic as fuck. They're like, dude, what the fuck are you doing now?
Yeah.
He's still in that group, but
it's only a matter of time.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
So, hookers. I didn't know the real story behind that until just recently.
Oh, dude.
Apparently comic shops are hookers.
Well, I mean...
No,
I mean,
like the actual
hooker story. Yeah.
So you can see now why I was like pretty defensive about it and like trying to help a brother out.
Are you friends with the... I don't know if, like...
I know both.
So we're going to talk about Vision Comics is what it is.
Okay.
I thought you just betrayed John wildly out of nowhere.
Like, I know, right? Like, why the fuck would I do that? John's like one of my best friends.
So Vision Comics had, I forget.
Boop Comics. Let's do that, please. Because I don't think.
Well, we're not going to talk bad about
them. We're not going to talk bad about
them. As far as I know, from what I know, they're trying to fix it.
This is what we should do.
They're trying to fix it, right?
Vision Comics had to let somebody go.
Yes.
Like, and we don't need to use people's real names because who knows, like, how far this is going
to
go.
But long story short, he was stealing money from the company to pay for hookers.
Yeah.
We're going to steal money, though.
I mean, I'm putting air quotes on the S because I know for sure it was one, might have been more, because it was a lot of money that he took, and I feel like that's way more.
She was
than
a high priced hooker, bro.
She must have been top shelf.
That's
I don't know,
so weird because I don't know if he left the big store that he was working at before then, or if they pushed him out. But I feel like it's kind of a weird little trend that he's. Maybe he should just stop being involved with stores at this point.
Probably.
Like, it's really weird. I didn't know what was going on. I just saw that they had kind of both released some kind of statement saying he wasn't going to be involved anymore, which is fine. That's good on Vision. Hopefully they righted the ship. And we've never been out there. I think we were planning on going out there when we go to Colorado Springs because it's in the Springs, right?
No, Vision's in Denver.
But is it?
Vision's kind of like North Littleton area.
Okay. Yeah.
The reason I haven't ever gone is...
And it's a bit of a drive for you.
It's a bit of a drive, but Vision is also like... Always seems to be mired in some kind of drama.
Right.
With people that I know but don't necessarily want to hang out with. Like, I like going to John's shop because I know everybody there. And like, I can just
cool atmosphere.
Be calm with them. Like, there's not... Like, Doyle and I used to work for this youth organization called Youth for Christ at this place called Higher Grounds. Okay,
I was gonna say, which will not be named in game names to that.
Oh, no, it's okay. it's okay because this doesn't reflect bad on them at all. But like the kids that go to that, they had this mode of operation that I always called the I'm important walk.
Right.
Where they were hot under the collar about something. Or they were irritated with this person or that person, and they would walk across the room in this, I'm important, look at me walking. And that level of just annoying teenage drama, I hate.
Right.
No matter how old you are or what kind of cool space you have. I just have zero desire to go into a shop when they have something like that going on. And unfortunately, Vision kind of always has something like that going on. And hopefully this
I don't know
is
going to
kind
of
right that ship, you
Chris
know?
And boop, leaving Mile High. I hope it was on good terms. But I know, like, pretty much, if you're a local, you understand that Mile High's kind of enemy.
Yeah.
So they got out, and I guess maybe that wasn't on the greatest of terms. So that immediately started boop,
to they're a bunch of tools.
We've had that conversation before on the show. Yeah. Anyways, so fuck Mile High. I'll go out and say it. Everybody's tiptoeing. I'll fucking say fuck Mile High.
I just thought we were making boop noises.
they can put 50% discount on things because they've marked everything up 50%.
We were having the conversation because they were whining and bitching about not being able to show at San Diego Comic-Con. Because it had gone away and they couldn't sell the prices had gotten too high, whatever they were whining about.
Yeah.
And that was the point, was like, fuck you. You gouge people in your fucking backyard. Don't fucking complain to me. I hate that shit.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So does everybody. And
gouge
what's
you, and then when they go to buy things from you, buy at the lowest possible price, too. Like,
the other thing that's insane to me is the people. Like including Mile High, complaining about how there's not very many comic dealers at San Diego Comic-Con. I bought all sorts of crazy comic books from, like, a ton of different comic book dealers. There was a shitload of comic dealers
there. There was a lot of comic book. They might not have been comic book stores, you know.
No, there was a shitload of comics stolen.
There were a lot of people. There were a lot of artists, a lot of writers who were there with their comic books. Yeah. Like the San Diego Comic Con has a lot of comic books.
A ton.
It doesn't
of them.
Matter where they're coming from. It has a lot of comic books. You know,
it has tons
most
of stores.
Most of the complaining comes from people who have never been there.
Tons of stores.
And they see Marvel there and fucking DC and they go, oh, it's been, you know.
Well, the fact of the matter is that San Diego is fucking massive.
It's huge.
It's Disneyland.
I literally told him, I was like, you really have no idea how big it really is until you're there.
There.
Because it's not just the convention center. It's like four fucking blocks around the convention
center. It's like every hotel in the area, restaurant, every bar, every art space, like it's ridiculous.
Even when the show's running, even if you're not doing San Diego Comic-Con proper, bet you can go into almost any of the surrounding block and find something.
Oh, you absolutely.
You don't have to have a ticket to do any of the outside stuff.
Some of so the you stuff can you go do. To because in some, the two big hotels, there was a bunch of stuff you needed a badge for.
I bet the people who
like some people rent out halls at like the local Holiday Inn and be like, here's our, like...
That's the weekend they take vacation.
San Diego Comic-Con adjacent event we're doing. So
I spent an evening in a bar talking to, like a local bartender, and he had nothing but shit to talk about. Yeah. He was like, I don't mind the tips, but I fucking just hate, like, what it's like down here.
Oh, it's probably chaos.
He said the worst is the parking. Like, because whereas there's a parking garage that he parks in literally every day and it's like not a big deal and it costs him $5 a day. This week it's like $35 a day and he has to get to work like 6 hours early to get a parking spot and all that stuff. I got two more news things and then we can take a break. Do you got battery for that?
Yeah, we're good. All right. Let's see. I'll let you know.
Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn have revealed in a comic book that they got married on a whim in Las Vegas at some point. It's in the newest run of Injustice 2, so there you go. Poison Ivy, Harley Quinn.
I don't care about either one of those.
They're
characters.
Married.
It makes all the fan people happy.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
It's cool because it's like a slash fic, like fan fiction, like ship.
Right.
That
DC finally made it.
DC
canon.
Was like, there you go. It's canon.
Yeah.
Good on you guys. So I like stuff like that.
Definitely made a lot of people happy.
It did.
Because there's so
you know
much
who it made
fan art and everything about those two.
You know who it's going to make super, super happy when I tell her? Bailey.
Oh, for sure.
She loves that shit. What was that noise?
I have no idea.
I was like, why does it sound like a camera in here? Then we should probably...
It's in the toilet.
We should probably talk about James Gunn being fired from Guardians of the Galaxy for tweets he made like 15 years ago.
Talk about using the guy to make a ton of money and then fucking firing him for shit he said 15 years ago, am I right?
Yeah. Again... You're not adverse. You're not immune to shit you say.
Right.
But it was so long ago, and he already apologized.
He had, apologized for it, 5 years ago.
You're, like, a different human being 15 years apart.
Yeah.
Like, you go
back to me 15 years ago, hey, I was 18.
If he would have said the shit now... 100% I would have been behind it. Fire him. It's time to let him go. He made jokes.
He made jokes that could be on this show.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like...
None of us would be making Guardians of the Galaxy.
Especially you.
So, that being said...
I seem to be well-loved, somehow.
So, that being said, Gabe and I both agree that it's amazing how strong the cast is pulling together to try and get him back.
Yeah, Drax is like, fuck you, Disney. I love that. Like, everybody signed the paper. They did the little thing.
It's like a three-paragraph letter to Marvel. Like, hey.
That everybody signed.
Yeah.
But Drax has literally gone out of his way to be like, I'll do everything legally that I can if they don't use the script. Or, you know, I'll fucking get out of my... He literally was like, I want to get out of my contract if they're not going to use the script. Which, it's fucking... It makes
Disney,
no sense.
Like,
it's
mans
weird.
Up and they're just like, fuck all of you.
Well, and what, like...
We already set it up for the old school Guardians of the Galaxy anyway.
Oh, dude, that'd be pretty hilarious. If they use this as a reboot.
Technically all of them except Rocket are dead anyway right now. Spoiler alert. Go fucking watch the movie.
They just rewrite
the
shit
by the time this is out.
They already have it.
It's already out.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
They just rewrite the shit out of Infinity War 2.
It's just stupid. I mean, Roseanne got fired.
Oh, my God.
Same shit. But she continues to be a vile human being.
That
about
video
everything.
That video that came out when we were in, like, we were literally pulling into the parking lot at San Diego Comic Con to Roseanne Barr going, "I thought the bitch was white. I thought the bitch was white." It's like, that's not the problem. Like, you're the problem. Like, and you're
that's
proving it right now.
I could have been like, well, she
maybe.
said one stupid
if
thing.
If you called a white bitch, like, told her she looked like a monkey, I don't know if there would be as much.
Yeah,
much
but when bad. You're screaming that you thought the bitch was white, like,
oh, well,
the,
clearly, yeah,
the implication has less to do with I wasn't being racist, but with I would have never called her a monkey if I would have actually known she was black. Like, that
you're
sounds
like,
just as fucking
you're,
racist.
You're
like,
still not denying the fact that you're a racist piece of shit.
That's the thing. I don't think she's funny. I've never have. I'd never liked the original Roseanne show. I just didn't think it was funny. But if you say one thing and you're like, "I'm sorry, my bad, I didn't know," you know, whatever. Because there's been some racism here too, but it's all in jest.
Doyle.
Yeah. You know, I get it. Like, the fact that she just keeps it going and digs her own
and
hole,
it's
that's
not just,
what makes it bad.
And it's not just her being racist. It's just her being a fucking vile prick half the time.
I would have been okay with them, with her apologizing sincerely and then them saying, "Okay, you can have your job back." That's fine. I get that. You know, shit fucking happens and people make mistakes all the time. But you just continue to be a vile human being, and that's the part. That's the bad part about it.
The cat's like, "I'm coming downstairs."
Yeah. That cat. You can keep talking. But,
I mean, I don't think anyone here loves Roseanne, so.
No.
But, I mean, I could have forget. I mean, it's just one stupid thing that you said. Who cares? We'll get over it.
Never.
I just didn't think she was funny.
I don't. I mean,
I hate you so much sometimes.
I think that I remember maybe liking some of the shows, but it's been so long, I don't even know if I liked that show when it was on.
I liked it okay. So I never saw it when it was on TV. My wife, Mel, really, really liked it. So we watched probably like the first two seasons of it. Like, it's a sweet show, and it kind of like shows like a lower middle class like version of America that
right.
I think gets ignored a lot of the time. But the way she's like politicized it now is
so. I don't think so. You think?
No, now has been so fucking frustrating and annoying that it makes me just not want to watch the show.
But
I mean,
do you think that? Do you think that the middle class in TV has really gotten a bad rap?
No, not a bad rap.
Or not?
I just don't. Okay, so here's.
Not
as somebody, yeah, as somebody that grew
like
up
like as characters, or like they don't talk about because I remember like
it.
The Married with Children. I remember fucking all kinds of shows that were just what was Tim Toolman? That was a middle class fucking show too.
So this is what I'm talking about.
Their house was gigantic.
If you look at Married with Children and Roseanne and All in the Family, and I would say to like a greater extent to The Simpsons, which even though it's animated is very
right.
like, you know,
definitely
a sitcom. Yeah. Those four shows I feel are like kind of the only shows that not a middle class family, but like a lower middle class family, like somebody that like makes money like I make money.
Right.
You know, you go to work every day. It's not easy work and you don't get paid like a ton of money and you have to worry about like health insurance and stuff like that. That shit never happens in sitcoms. Like, think about Full House. They live on like the most picturesque street in San Francisco, and those houses are like $15 million homes. Like the Huxtables in the Cosby Show.
That was
show.
Definitely. They were definitely
he's,
rich.
He's a professor, and she makes a shitload of money
oh,
doing
man.
Something.
He was a doctor.
He's a doctor, and she's
Steve
a
Urkel.
Professor. So
that's Family Matters.
Again,
that,
Family
they
Matters.
Were, he was a cop.
But they live in a, like, he might be a cop, like, and he might supposed to be, like, a middle class American, but they live in fucking a gigantic house that is in, like, the middle
I
of
think
a
some
nice
of that,
city.
I think some of that with older shows was just because it was easier to
no,
shoot
and
that
I,
way.
I understand
But I feel like
that.
The families were still represented more like a middle class
in a lot of ways, but like visually, like, and because TV is such a visual medium,
right.
there's like this huge disconnect. like this is going to sound super stupid, but like the first couch that I've ever seen on television that looks like my couch was on Married with Children. Mm-hmm. And those people were basically like poor white trash, you know. Oh, and so are the characters like in Roseanne. Oh, dude, he does all sorts of shit.
I know, and nobody says shit, and you're getting roasted for things you used to say.
But the difference,
episode was just fat chick jokes.
You know what the difference is?
I think the difference for me, the difference is that was contained in a show.
Exactly. Yeah,
like he wasn't going out and being like that fucking fat chick. You know what I mean?
Wasn't he like the writer / producer of the show?
That's right. But he was writing it.
Yeah.
He wrote it, and I think that's the difference. But if you see him in a different movie outside of the Married with Children script, he's a totally different person. And like when he's in public, he's just a genuinely nice guy.
Everything on this show is scripted and only on this show.
Yeah, I'm actually a really nice guy that enjoys all sorts of really popular things.
Tom Cruise movies.
Man, miss me with that shit. Fuck you. I hate Tom Cruise movies.
That fucked up that one.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I think, I don't know. Like, I think that lower class, like, actually poor with a set that looks like actual poor people's stuff.
Well, and they disgust being poor. That's the difference, I think, is the Family Matters.
The thing is, their house was still big.
But it was run down. It looks like my house.
I know they were poor, but the house was massive. They had a whole huge basement. They had a big upstairs.
It's the fact that it was four rooms. Disgust, though. In Family Matters, I think I've seen every episode of that show. They never talk about money.
Yeah.
Really, or being poor. Like, in my household, it's all we ever fucking talk about. Like, it was poor. So you watch that, and they're poor.
Married with Children and Roseanne, they actually talked about, like, actual people problems. Like what's the one with the guy?
Dino. Yeah, what's that show? That was Dinosaurs. A great show too. No, with the black guy. JJ.
Oh, What's Happening?
Yeah. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, What's Happening. I think so too.
But
that's a great show.
They were poor as fuck.
There was an episode on one of their neighbors eating cat food because she was so poor.
That's right.
Dinosaurs talked about being poor.
Yeah, but that show's awful. I fucking hate that show so much.
I'm saying a lot of...
I'll hit you. Like, so much rage.
I can't remember that show, really.
I know. Always. I think he's going to get less grumpy.
You think?
Yeah.
I have gotten significantly less grumpy as I've gotten older.
There's much less indignation.
as someone that's known me for a very long time, Doyle, how do you think my grumpiness has gone?
So I think of like solid grumpy, it can still reach the levels. But I don't like every time before in the past I would walk up to you that day you were clearly annoyed and on a tangent in your life about multiple things every day. Whereas that's not your common demeanor now.
I feel like listening to your old friends and kind of hearing stories, I feel like you used to get grumpy and mad about things that mattered, and now you get grumpy and mad over dumb shit.
That's not true.
In my opinion. You get mad and grumpy about fucking cords. See?
I'm going to fucking yell at you. I cannot express to you how obnoxious and embarrassing and difficult it was to work with the two microphones when one cord is.
You
want to
know how much the other person probably doesn't care?
I don't care that they don't care. Like dealing with a cord that's like 2 feet and like the perfect length to work with, and then another one that's like 8 to 10 feet long.
This is my point right
and
here.
And it was
though.
A nightmare.
This is my point right
It was
here,
a nightmare.
No, no, this is my point. Difference. Gabe now gets annoyed at things that are happening like in his sphere at that moment. Whereas, like, you used to be able to walk up to Gabe and, like, he's mad about something and he's been mad about that thing for 3 weeks.
I explained it to you. I thought we came to resolve, you bring it up on the show.
The explanation is fine. I'm not mad at you for anything.
Oh,
it just makes me laugh that you would get so bent out of shape over something so stupid and trivial.
It was really
comfort is important, bro.
It had less to do with me actually being mad about like the cords and the two mic situation, and more to do with just like how like extra difficult it made the whole day. Like, and that was it. But it's over now, and I have figured out a solution. What really helps the situation is when you're a fucking prick about it.
It makes me laugh.
Juan's like, I stopped very recording much. Like 20 yeah, minutes yeah. ago.
If your car breaks down, you should be mad.
Oh.
That's some mad shit.
I wasn't mad about my car breaking down, though.
No, I'm just saying.
I knew it was going to happen.
That's the kind of shit, too, that never pisses me off. I'm just like, well, that fucking happened.
You know, I think the things that frustrate me are things that I have control over and am unable to fix versus things that I don't have control over don't really bother me very much anymore. Whereas it used to be...
I wonder if that comes with a lifetime of being poor.
Yeah, where nothing works right.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah. I feel the same way. Like I've been in vehicles where people are like freaking out. My friend's vehicles, and I'm like on the side of my toilet.
Like, the oil change light turned on. Yeah,
was, like, was it ever not on?
The check engine light was on my car for like four fucking years.
When I bought it.
So when it finally died, I was like, well, I saw that coming for the last 4 years.
I think I made a comment about it being worth $50 before it broke down. And he literally was like, I want the $50 you promised me.
Yep. I made him give me $50 for the trade-in. Didn't your financing guy say something about
no,
it?
No, the manager was like, I don't want that car. I was like, come on. He doesn't want to deal with it. He wants $50 for it. Fucking give him. Make it happen. He's like, okay.
What you guys do with it?
It goes to the auction, typically. And then either somebody buys it and crushes it, or somebody buys it and... The difference is...
more than $50.
So here's the difference is our mechanics are like Honda certified master tech mechanics.
Yeah.
So they're fucking expensive. So it's easier if like especially like with a BMW or something that's European or German or whatever comes through, it's easier for them to send it to the auction and let a smaller dealership buy it who pays their mechanic $10 an hour to fix something because that's cheaper for them. Than to have my guys do it when it's going to cost a lot of money. So typically those things go somewhere else. Somebody buys it and they fix it or they crush it.
I bet my car gets parted out because maybe. I know there's not a ton
isn't
of them out there.
Most vehicles 500?
Something like that, yeah. I thought about doing that, but I would have had to get it towed to the salvage yard and deal with it the day afterwards. Yeah, so sure. I just didn't. I mean, I literally had them tow it to Juan's lot and like, I need a new car.
So I'm in the back. I was like, oh, all right.
That's how I bought my first new car. My car, I had a 66 Nova, and it died, coasted right into the parking spot. Parked it, it's like, it's all yours, buddy. Every single hose in that goddamn thing needed to be replaced.
Duh.
I don't have any more real news aside from Punisher just wrapped on season 2.
Yes.
Iron Fist is coming in the next month or two, I think. And then we get Daredevil 2 before the end of the year.
Which is
so
awesome.
So fucking Daredevil 3, I'm sorry. So I'm actually really... Yeah, I'm really excited for Iron Fist, Daredevil, and then fucking Punisher kind of right off of the back of each other.
I'm not excited for Iron Fist, but I hope it's better than before.
Did you watch Luke Cage? Anybody watch Luke Cage?
I've only seen like the first 3 episodes.
That's why I said we should do a specialty catch-up on TV shows episode. Because every TV show is renewed and bad.
The problem is I can't do it. He won't watch the shit that we want to watch.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, So this is...
I mean, like, did you watch Luke Cage? No, but I watched 15 fucking hours of One Punch Man or some bullshit that he wants.
I've never watched that.
No, I'm just saying. Like, it's like,
If we want to do the next episode, a catch-up on Marvel TV...
Not the next episode. The episode.
You know what I'm saying. The next one where we sit and record.
Well, but I mean, I'm talking to the people listening.
Right.
Because they're going to be like, oh, yeah, next episode.
Let's do that, dude. I'll catch up on all that Marvel shit.
All Marvel, all the
I'm
time.
Fucking caught up. So
let's do it.
I'm in.
All right.
And whatever other pop culture shows go in that vein.
All I need is Luke Cage.
Oh, shit. I need to watch Cloak and Dagger then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
I gotta watch Cloak and Dagger, Outcast.
Oh, shit. 2, I need to watch Outcast.
Preacher Season 3.
Preacher's been fucking really good.
Yeah, that's what I did. It was like I wasn't alive for 3 months or some shit. Like, the other day I was going through my TV shows and I was like, they're all fucking like another season's over.
Preacher, to be fair, I don't think has gotten to the halfway point yet.
Except for Walking Dead, which I stay up on religiously. And
Fear the Walking Dead has been phenomenal. This season of Fear the Walking Dead has been really good.
It's probably been my favorite Walking Dead-ish season, period.
It has been so good.
So for the TV catch-up episode, let's talk about Cloak and Dagger, Jessica Jones 2, Luke Cage 2, and Punisher. Because I haven't watched any of those.
Okay.
And if...
You haven't watched the first season of Punisher either?
Huh.
Jesus.
Really good.
We're going to go rogue, talk about Black Lightning, and...
No. That's a DC joke. Anyways.
It's just terrible.
Well, really?
I know. Do we want to add Legion in there since you've watched Legion?
I've only watched about 4 episodes, but yeah.
I honestly did not like it. I liked
so
it.
TV shows, okay. And we'll make a list of what we need to catch up on after this. So.
That's why I'm writing it down.
So. Otherwise, I think that I'm just excited for all the Marvel shit coming out.
So. It all looks pretty good.
The one episode of Iron Fist in Luke Cage was way cooler than his whole first season. So,
and when I'm one excited. Episode is cooler than a whole first season, you know you fucked up a first season.
Well, even though people didn't really care for Defenders, that was still a way better Iron Fist than we got.
Dude, and I actually kind of liked
Defenders. It was just kind of slow and then over really fast.
Yeah.
That's the problem. It was 8 episodes.
There were too many build-up episodes.
If you're going to go slow in the beginning, 8 episodes isn't enough.
What they should have done is 2 build-up episodes and then 6 episodes of full-on Defenders. That would have been a lot more entertaining.
The Hand never really felt like that big of a bad guy.
Until Daredevil Season 2.
But Daredevil kind of handled them on his own still, to a degree.
He was pretty tired. He fought off like 1,000 ninjas.
Yeah, but
literally. By himself. There's like hundreds of ninjas running at him.
But then like when all the...
It's like the foot.
When all the old hand came together. You know, the strong hand, as you want to call it.
The strong... Frank Azar?
Yeah. He's a strong arm.
Oh, my bad.
The strong hand.
Is that the cash now?
They weren't that awesome. Like,
they were pretty awesome.
But they still beat their ass every encounter.
They still cast the evil magic spell that we still don't really know what it does.
But it's literally every single time they fought a defender or the defenders, they lost every single one of them. Wasn't like we beat the
except
shit
for Madame
out
Gal.
Of them. No, she didn't win.
She
fight.
Was pretty fucking bad. Beat up Iron Fist a couple of times.
No, in the Defenders, though.
Oh, just in the Defenders?
Like, in the Defenders, like, every encounter was won by the Defenders. Right. Like, which I thought was, like, that's just... I mean, you gotta have them get their asses kicked, and then they come back united.
Right.
It feels so good. And then they beat the shit.
Okay, let's talk about this in 2 episodes from now, then, okay?
Yeah.
Sing it again.
I just did.
No, again.
You can do it again.
Again.
Beck United and it feels so good.
Do you know what I hate, Bex?
What's up?
Movie trailers. Seriously. We go to the movies, we pay a shit ton of money to go and actually see the movie, and then I've got to wait 10, 15 minutes to watch like 7 or 8 trailers for movies. Some of them I don't give a shit about, some of them I do, but I've seen them like 18 times on YouTube already. I don't want to see it. Just play the goddamn movie!
But isn't that what this is?
What?
Isn't this like a trailer for our podcast, Gareth's Random Ramblings, that we try and do every single week? That you can find on Spreaker and iTunes, or you can check out on garrettsrandomramblings.space.
You know what? I love trailers. They're the best.
He's just a guy. He loves to ramble randomly across the wire. It's Gareth.
Hi, this is Brian Cox, the original Hannibal Lecter, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Batman 50, you're fucking up Wonder Woman.
Surprise, surprise.
We're recording.
And we're back.
We've been back.
And we're back.
So, it's time for our pop culture classic.
Yes!
We haven't done one of these in a long time.
It has been quite some time.
So glad you actually fucking did it, Mark.
I feel like I broke it with my last request. Like, I broke the pop culture.
You're all, we're going to do a book and a movie. No!
Fucking grinds to a halt for 4 months.
So you mentioned it in the group text, in the group message yesterday, but I didn't see the group message until late, and then I completely spaced it afterwards, so I'm sorry. My apologies, Jason, but 3 of us watched the movie.
Yes. 1985's The Last Dragon, directed by Michael Schultz, written by Louis Venosta, starring Timac, I think is how you say his name.
Who knows?
Vanity, Christopher Murray, and Julius Curry. So here's the trivia. The arrow chop at the very beginning of the movie is a real stunt that took them 2 hours to get down.
That seems like a stone thing that friends do. We're going to shoot it at you and you got to break it. Really?
That seems like a dumb idea. This is one of William H. Macy's first movies. That was like super surprising to me when I saw him in the movie. And Mel was like, Juan should reach out to William H. Macy to interview him about The Last Dragon. I was like, that is a really good idea.
You had to remind me because I have a, I think I have dementia. And I have a horrible fucking memory.
Dude, I'll shoot you a Facebook message.
Bad, bad fucking memory.
So,
someone lit one up in here.
That was me. It was upstairs. Sorry. It
might have been me, too.
Just melting me from behind, and I work at a fucking beef plant.
I go in there to use the bathrooms. I didn't even know there was a bathroom down here. I was like, how long have you fucking known Gabe?
Oh, man. So, in an effort...
He's got one of those fucking full house... fucking houses where you don't know how big it is, bro.
I have a sitcom house. Yeah, sitcom
house. There's actually two more bathrooms.
One of them's a bag just for you. In an effort to cut $2 million from the budget, the writers, Schultz and Venosta... locked themselves in a hotel room to do rewrites, and when Venosa fell asleep, Schultz deleted 40 pages of the script, and then they spent the next day, like, rewriting, like, trying to recreate those 40 pages.
If you had asked me if this movie cost $2 million to make, I would have said no.
So,
let alone deleted $2 million from the budget.
Part of why it's so expensive is they were using real, like, electronic equipment that was before its time, so, like, VHS and, like, Betamax players... cost, like, that were in the movie literally cost, like, thousands and thousands of dollars. Like, for things that you can go buy at, like, Salvation Army for $5 now.
If you're lucky to find one.
Yeah, that is true. They are kind of hard to find now. And then Leroy's brother is actually the real-life brother of Master G from the Sugar Hill Gang, which I thought was, like, a interesting little bit of trivia.
I don't know who that is.
Who Sugar Hill Gang is?
Correct.
Oh, that stink is not him. It's the Drano I put in my sink.
Okay, dude, I was like, that is brutally wrong, Tim. Like, the fact that I came from a human was starting to, like, we need to stop this and take Tim to the emergency room.
It's gone beyond me. That's awesome. It's like Flint, Michigan.
That makes more sense, because that is rigged.
I'll open a window.
The window is open.
No, I shut it after but, the cat came in. You know, Gabe, what a surprise. Juan doesn't know another, like, classic.
Sugar Hill. I'm surprised you haven't heard of that, at least.
Yeah.
So
here's the thing that this idiot still doesn't understand. I heard of Wu-Tang Clan. I know who the Wu-Tang Clan is.
Yeah.
If you talk, I know who Disturbed is, but I don't know every fucking member of the band. I'm sorry. I know who D12 is, but I don't know all the fucking idiots that comprise the band. I'm sorry.
I would say they're more of a group than a band.
Well, group, band, whatever. I think they had a song about that too, yeah. If I remember correctly.
Yeah, they sang that song. Do you know who he was?
No, I literally just said that. Are you paying attention?
You don't know who Eminem is?
Yes, I know who Eminem is. The only one out of all of them, I guess, that I know.
Racist. That's racist.
I know the one white guy.
Yeah, well, if the black guys would have fucking been more famous.
It's true, they kind of didn't go where
it is also, yeah, I have to agree with that. They were kind of terrible. So.
It's weird, but you got, like, Eminem just, like, hoisting you to stardom and you're still failing. Like, you might as well kill yourself.
Ouch. Seems a little intense, but okay. So, thoughts? You've never seen
it? I didn't watch
one.
It, no.
You've never seen it?
No, I don't think
oh,
so.
Oh, my...
Did you watch it, like, recently for this?
I
like,
watched this morning when okay. I went to work.
I watched it last night. I had to finish it this morning because my internet's been doing this ridiculous thing where once an hour it just turns off. So that's been fun. But I finished it this morning again. Holy shit, that's a ridiculously entertaining movie. It like, is. I had forgotten how... I think the last...
Talk about cultural appropriation and blaxploitation in one movie.
Dude.
Amen to that. Holy
there
shit.
Are so many amazing moments where they play like a cross race, like the three guys that run the fortune cookie factory want to be black dudes, and like Bruce Leroy wants to be an Asian guy.
Is black.
Oh man, the heavy use of the word Oriental in this movie is freaking hilarious,
right?
Dude,
this movie is like I loved this movie before Jason ever requested it, but it is amazing still.
It is phenomenally funny. Like every part of this movie is a perfect blend of blaxploitation film, kung fu movie, and like 80s stupid comedy
solid
movie.
Cheese.
I mean, just so funny.
I love that. I wish they did that. I don't wish because maybe it just wouldn't work, but I love how they used to take a bad song and just beat it into the ground throughout the entire course of a movie.
Oh, I'm glad they didn't do that, but I like the
I like the
DeBarge song. It's pretty funny. Yeah. Like, and like as we're watching it, Mel was literally like, "Oh, this song, I love this song." Like,
what, DeBarge?
Yeah,
I love DeBarge.
I know you do.
DeBarge.
DeBarge. I don't know. What? Where are you?
I'm going to take a shower and then head on out.
Oh, okay. Cool.
When I'm gone, after you guys wrap up, will you put all the laundry that's in our room away?
Yeah.
Okay. When I'm gone.
When I'm gone.
To be fair.
To be fair.
That was the song.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that's what we were doing.
I need my cup.
I have one question. Which one of you took a shit so bad? No, no,
that's the Drano.
I put Drano in my sink down here.
But it was him.
I thought Gizmo died and, like, took his, like,
I was telling him.
Shit.
Dora's like, Tim, did you shit yourself?
Like, I'm sitting there and I was like, was it Yeti?
I mean, because I'm kind of known for my shits here, so.
I know.
Dora was immediately like, was that you, Tim?
And then I was like, Gizmo's tongue has protruded a little extra. And I was like, oh my god, he died and he took death shit. It is the worst thing I've ever
death
fucking
metal
smell.
Shit!
Oh, that's how I go. I hope the mics pick that story up.
Oh, man.
It is terrible, though.
It's
I gotta
rough.
Tell you.
Like, fix that.
I'm doing... that's what the Drano was in the sink for.
My eyes have been watering ever since it started.
It's so rough.
This is coming from a guy who deals with, like, rendered fat and, like cow carcass.
Cow skins.
Yeah. He's like, no, but this shit is worse than that.
Oh, man.
This could choke a donkey.
So talk to me more about Last Dragon. Like, what are your favorite parts of this movie?
Obviously, just like the theater scene when everyone's just losing their fucking mind. There's breakdancers in the aisle ruining the movie. And then fucking Shonoff shows up and just makes a declaration of himself, kicks people out of the aisle, sits down and starts beating the shit out of everyone. The whole movie is ridiculous. When he challenges people to get up and fight him, and the one dude gets up acting all tough, busts open his jacket, and he's wearing like a pink crop top. And he's fat. He's not buff. He's the fat guy.
In a pink crop top. Are they supposed to be like the gay gang?
I have no idea.
And the other dude
goes down to beat him up in like the straight, obvious drag queen.
Right.
He's like, I beat the shit out of it. Oh, not the face.
Not the face. Not the face.
That whole movie is ridiculous but awesome.
So it has the amazing like 80s stereotypes where there's like a metal kid.
Oh yeah.
And like a bunch of rapper kids and like different weird gangs of people that are around.
This qualifies as the movie, the kind of movie that, I mean, I do love it, but I don't know how it ever got produced. Like, I don't know how you pitched this and they were like, yeah, all of that. Let's get it all.
And like the plot obviously revolves around this guy that's trying to get the video, like it's basically video Soul Train. It's Soul Train, but instead of a live band, they watch videos and dance to that, which is like the weirdest.
Oh, her fucking performance too is insane.
It's so weird. Like,
insane.
She's making crazy eyes through
it's
the
like
whole thing.
Half thriller, half inaudible squealing that doesn't even sound that good, and then like regular singing
and like weird spoken word stuff happens in the middle of it that makes no kind of sense.
Right.
Interruption number two. What up, dude?
I have a feeling it's probably less funny, but still.
Say hi.
She watched the show. She can talk about it.
I know. What did you think of the movie we saw last night or this morning? The kung fu movie that we were watching this morning. Did you like it?
What kung fu movie?
Oh, okay, good. I'm glad that you pay attention to life. So, I love he's in the movie theater eating popcorn with chopsticks. Like, or when they're hiring the gang of guys to beat him up in the end, and the one guy hands them a note, like, because they're turning in resumes to be, like, evil henchmen. Okay. And he hands him a note that's all crumpled up, and the guy goes, "Well, why do you think you deserve twice as much as everybody else?" And he just barks at them and breaks the table with his head. Just so many stupid things
happening.
They're
ridiculous henchmen too. They're all so
cliche weird. Like, you can tell he's a bad guy because he's wearing a mask.
Yeah.
Or you can tell he's a bad guy because he has boxing headgear on for some reason. Like, oh, it's so good.
In one of those ways, I swear, like, I just don't know how you could describe it without the visual and make it sound good. Like, at a table. Like, I just want to know. I want to be in those. I wish more
companies
would record those early meetings. I just want to know, like, how the fuck did this movie get greenlit?
I guarantee he sat down and he said, we want to make a black Bruce Lee movie. And they went, oh, okay, yeah, that sounds awesome.
Let's do it.
And then this is what happened.
They started getting the dailies in and like, what in the fuck are you guys doing?
You have got to cut $2 million from your budget.
Probably the fucking licensing for the Bruce Lee scenes were $2 million. Like,
that's probably a big part of why this movie is expensive.
Because, A, they just show clips of the Bruce Lee movie probably for 20 straight minutes of this movie if you combine them all.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Like
15 to 20.
Alone of Bruce Leroy, that had to have been a legal battle. It's two on the nose.
Dude, it's, I don't know.
I don't know, because I think it would fall under, what's it called?
Ripping Man's name.
But it's not his actual name. Like, it's like a joke. It's like
parody.
A pun.
I think it would fall under parody.
Yeah.
Because it's an obvious parody.
I don't know. It's a ridiculous movie. I love it, though.
It was very good.
So, the last time I saw it was probably a really long time ago. It was probably, like, 10 years ago or something like that. And I remember watching it and being like, man, this is kind of boring. Like, this isn't very fun. But watching it again last night, I was like, holy shit. Like, every part of this is amazing because it's so ridiculous. Like, none of it – it's so dumb and none of it makes any kind of sense that it's just this perfect mishmash of things that are – wildly entertaining, horribly stereotypical, and just over the top funny, like from beginning to end.
The glow.
Yeah, when Shonuff's hands get all red. Like straight Big Trouble in Little China, Ghostbusters level.
Yeah, the movie is fucking ridiculous, but amazing still, I agree.
It's good.
Unfortunately, Juan did not see any of it.
No.
You should watch it. Like, you're going to give it a thumbs up.
Make it part of your catch up on
Marvel. Thumbs up.
Catch up on Marvel.
Yeah.
By watching Last Dragon.
You're already like caught up on the Marvel shit. So just
a lot
that.
Of it.
So listening to us talk about it, would you have any interest in this movie?
I mean, it sounds ridiculous.
It is.
But probably.
Yeah. Comedy.
I don't know why I have watched other ridiculous things.
I'm just curious. Like, you know what it kind of reminds me of? Kung Fu Hustle.
Yeah.
Where it has that like overlay of like comedy, but like halfway's decent kung fu action. Like,
and
it
playful racism.
And playful racism, yeah.
For sure.
Kinda sounds like the kung fu from what is wrong with my
kung
memory
Pao?
Today? No, from the Kurt Russell movie we watched not too long
Big
ago.
Trouble in Little China.
Yeah.
It is a lot like that.
Yes.
Where but with replace all the white characters with black characters, and that's what you got. That's probably how they sold this.
I'm sure.
Big Trouble in Little China, but with black people.
We want to do an Afro-centric
movies. Movies China. Like this are why movies like oh my god, what is the name of that?
Wait for it.
Shit.
Here it comes.
Black
Panther.
No.
Widow.
Black Dynamite. That's why movies like Black Dynamite can exist. Yeah. Like blaxploitation comedy films, like
Afro Samurai.
Yeah, or Afro Samurai. That
anime
show is great.
A little anime toss in there.
Oh no, I love it. This movie is hilarious. I think you should watch it.
Sounds like everybody gave it a thumbs up.
Yes, I give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, definitely thumbs up.
Thumbs way up. Straight up yo ass. Sure enough.
Right up there, Morty.
Wow. What's our next one?
Our next pop culture classic.
Oh shit,
I'm
he
so
even got a big old fucking smile on his face.
Fucking finally.
The Big Lebowski, baby. The dude.
In which Chinamen are not the issue,
dude. The Chinamen are not the issue, dude. I am so excited to watch this movie.
Every time.
Like this.
Honestly, I thought that you were just bored with us and that you were just turning your chair. It's like, one straight check the fuck out.
He's definitely opposed Big Lebowski several times now.
No, I have not. Oh, I enjoyed it. It has been a long time since I've watched it, but I like the movie.
I literally thought while he's turning his chair, I'd go into bed or some shit. He's like,
That's because I like the Kevin Smith movie better.
I feel like the Big Lebowski is just going to be us quoting the Big Lebowski for about a half an hour to 45 minutes.
Yeah, probably.
Over the line, Donnie. Over the line.
It's been so long since I've seen that movie. That's what I love about what we do with this. That's my favorite thing is like, oh shit, I forgot that movie exists. Not the Big Lebowski, but just in general.
But in general, you're like, when Jason brought up The Last Dragon, like, I was like, holy fuck, I have not seen that in forever.
Yeah, really.
And I think you're, let me look at my pick list.
Your dick list?
Doyle, after the Big Lebowski, you're actually up for a pick.
Oh, I know.
You're up, bitch. What are we watching after the Big Lebowski?
I'm going to watch Three Amigos.
Holy shit. That's so awesome.
I
was so weird about that. I just watched it.
Dude, I was literally just thinking.
I literally just watched it like 2 days ago.
So the Three Amigos has one of my favorite lines. Like one of my favorite lines from a movie because it made my dad and I laugh so hard when we watched it. So there's the scene where he asks him, do we have a plethora of piñatas? And Jefe finally cops to admitting that he doesn't know what plethora means, right? And he goes, could it be that you are upset about something else and you are just taking it out on me? And then he says, could it be that because today you are turning 40, and I had that line.
And he looks like he's about 60, by the way.
I've had that line going on in my brain for like, because I was in kind of a grumpy mood like through the middle of the week, and I thought to myself, yeah, I know. I thought to myself, could it be because I'm turning 40, and it made me laugh. And so I've been thinking about I was gonna probably watch it tonight.
I literally watched it like 2 or 3 days. It's fucking so awesome. Perfect timing.
Sweet.
You got
to
do the...
Because that guy talking to Jefe, I can't remember the little lieutenant's name, but he's the guy from... Not Coming to America. The Cheech movie. Born in East LA. He's the priest guy. Yeah. Fuck me? No. That's fuck the guy. You. Yeah. I was watching some Martin Short videos after I saw the movie, and then like I've been on this kick of Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and Don Rickles shit lately because I love old music, but I love old comedy too.
Right.
And so he got me on this 3-4 day bender of watching fucking Don Rickles roast people. So it was I love him. So.
Don Rickles is fucking hilarious. Like. A comedian that nobody talks about anymore, but was absolutely a trailblazer.
Nobody. I mean, and it's because I lived when Frank Sinatra and all them. Well, not all of them, but I lived when Frank Sinatra was still alive. I think that's the biggest reason why
did we all?
Yes, but I mean the young, like a lot of younger people, a lot of younger kids, they probably.
You have no idea.
Yeah, you probably say Frank Sinatra, and they're like, some old dude. Like, but he made great fucking music, and they were funny.
He made good.
They were really funny.
Like the original Ocean's 11 is a funny and like pretty engaging like heist movie starring the Rat Pack. Like it's a good movie.
It is very good
for sure.
Are we done?
Yeah, that's about it.
Rising from the depths of a state called Michigan, two inebriated dorks prepare their plan for intergalactic domination, mixing their extensive knowledge of geek culture with their insatiable thirst for alcohol. These two man-children bring you a show like you've never heard before. They will tell you tales from faraway lands and have you questioning their taste in beer. But make no mistake, friend, for the best coverage of your favorite comics, films, and TV shows, there's no better source for you to get your fix. So listen up, strap in, and prepare yourself as Jake and Tom conquer the world.
Yo, yo, what's up? This is me, DMC, and the place to be, the K-I-N-G. And the only place for you to ever be is right here rocking with Thinking Outside the Long Box, because this is the podcast of them all.
Hey guys, welcome to Thinking Outside the Long Box. On the line today, we have basically the whole creative team behind Hex 11 and the brain trust that is Hex Comics. We have Lindley Forrest, editor and producer of Hex Comics, Lisa K. Weber, the artist on Hex 11, and Kelly Sue Milano, the writer on Hex 11. How are you all doing today?
Well, we're doing well, I think, collectively.
Yes. Hello. Thank you for having us.
Of course. So the easiest place to start is, why don't you tell all of our listeners what Hex 11 is about?
Okay. Well, the elevator pitch, we'd like to say, is Harry Potter meets Blade Runner. The longer story is Eleanor, who is our hero. She is a young witch in training, and she lives in this world. We say it's kind of a not so distant, soon to be dystopian, very technically advanced, futuristic world where magic has recently been discovered like it's a new technology. So where magic used to be in the realm of just those who were born with it naturally and was kind of held, you know, kind of passed down quietly from generation to generation. Now, if you have money, you can buy access to magical abilities like we download apps. So the powers that be have discovered, their scientists have discovered enough about magic to want to try to harness it and control this powerful new resource. So it's made things very weird for the naturals, such as Eleanor and her kind. And they have been over time relegated to living in this huge slum outside the city called the Hex. And that's where our story begins.
So when you're approaching a project like this that combines like science fiction and fantasy, how do you avoid falling into like writing tropes, Kelly? Like how do you avoid stumbling over the past?
Sure. No, I love that question actually. So I think that one of the ways that we, and you know, I say we because our process for creating Hex 11 is very collaborative. And I think one of the ways that we do that is that we're drawing often from our own experiences, and we aren't really interested in recreating something so much as we are showcasing different points of views and perspectives within extraordinary circumstances, which is something that I think anybody can relate to, whether it's sci-fi, whether it's slice of life, whether it's horror or, you know, what have you. So I think that we try first to stay true to the human experience. And then after that, you just get to kind of have a lot of fun with the world that you're building.
Yeah.
So stylistically, the comic is very like, it has kind of like a pastel, but also like dark feel to it. It's hard for me to like parse in my brain, like how to explain it, but it's definitely got like an edgier, darker feeling while also having like a light kind of airiness to it. Like, how did you go about, you know, determining, I guess, the tone you wanted to take stylistically with the comic book?
I've always been attracted to, I guess I'll say, visual entertainment that has more saturated colors. Like my earliest influences are obviously Disney and Jim Henson, like talking like Fraggle Rock, Labyrinth type stuff to say. And you know, as I got older, my influences kind of started including some of the richer, darker elements like David Lynch and stuff, where it's like you've got a really bright and saturated color palette that's kind of pulling you in, but is also kind of giving this darker mood to things. So that's what I wanted to imbue into Hex 11.
I think in Lisa's style is very much this kind of grotesquely beautiful, and color plays is such a key role in that, because it is, it like it draws you in, but then once you get there, you're like, oh, I don't know if I wanted to see that. You know, like, oh,
well, thank you,
that's the stuff of nightmares. But it's alluring and at the same time frightening, you know.
Yeah.
It's pretty magical.
It's interesting because I think often, you know, for comic book readers and collectors, like the coloring process is, it's not like overlooked, but most people think it's just coloring in like a coloring book, and it's really significantly more complicated than that. Like,
boy, is it? I have no idea either.
Did you say that's true, Lisa? Yeah. I would say that's fairly accurate.
Yeah. It's it is a remarkable process.
So I'm seeing that you have the two volumes released, and I assume that there's more like kind of in the pipeline and stuff. When you're going out on like this limb to create this new comic book, you know, kind of absent of being within like the, you know, the publishing, like, you know, groups, like, you know, it's not an Image book, it's not a Dark Horse book, you're just doing it independently on your own. Like, what were some of your fears going into it, and what are some of the things that have been really satisfying, like kind of on the back end of getting so much released?
I think this is Lindley, the business part of this business. We didn't, when Lisa and I started talking about doing this, I mean, she and I have been friends for a long time, and it was a very casual thing in a way. So it wasn't like, it wasn't some wrought experience where she was like, ah, geez, I've been sitting on this script for years, and I've been, you know, going through all of these iterations, trying to get someone to pay attention to it or this and that. It really wasn't, it was this really very organic, very kind of even cosmic in a way that it all way that it all came together. You know, we were just talking about her getting burnt out on doing illustration work in a way, you know, expressing other people's ideas. And I had said, well, what do you want to do? And she's like, I want to make a comic book. And I said, well, that's insane. Who reads those? No one. And she was like, you don't know what you're talking about. I said, you are right. Tell me about it. And so she tells me, she's like, no, I've got this whole story I've been working on for like 10 years. And I want to do this. And I said, okay, well, tell me the story. And she did. And it was incredible. And it was what is now Hex 11. I thought, well, let's just put some structure around this and just see how it goes. I mean, it started out as kind of just an experiment because I've known Lisa forever. I've been a fan of her art forever. I know we call her the consummate professional because she is. She's been supporting herself for years since she got out of art school as an artist. She's incredibly dedicated to her craft. So I trusted her that it's like, if she wants to be able to do this, I knew that she could. And so I was like, well, let's just, you know, what I can bring to the table is we can put structure around this. And if this works, I can get it done. I can make something happen. If you can draw this book, I can get it printed, you know, and I can definitely tell the people about it, and we'll get a table and we'll sell it. And so that's what we did. And we learned pretty quickly after just a couple of weeks of kind of going through the, okay, show me what your characters are. Give me a concept of the world. We went through that and realized, like, we really need a writer. And my husband was like, I've got the person for you. It's Kelly Sue Milano. You got to call her. This is perfect. She used to work with me at this ad agency. She quit this job to go take these writing for 30-minute comedy shows for TV class at UCLA. She's into all of this nerd stuff that Lisa's into. Get with her. And we were like, all right, fine. So we looked, you know, we called her, we set a meeting, and this was like April of 2014, maybe. We met her, and her and Lisa clicked like kismet. I mean, it was just nothing short of amazing. And so the three of us kind of came together and went diligently to work on this thing. And it just all, it was like it was meant to be. And it just all came together so fluidly that, you know, we incorporated the business in August. Issue one was done in September. We'd already had a table purchased, an artist alley table purchased at Kamikaze that year, 2014, here in LA. We decided we were going to, you know, just go ahead and debut issue one at that table. And we showed up there, and we had bought 150 books with all the money we could gather, which was like $500, $550 or something to print these books. And we showed up down there and sold out of all of our books before noon on Sunday.
Nice.
And so it's a little bit of stroke of luck. But it was more about that luck being the idea of opportunity mixed with preparation and it all coming together. And then you having, you know, a bit of magic occur. And that's kind of what happened to us in that case. And now, and then after we realized at that moment, well, I guess we're onto something here. I guess we need to go ahead and make issue 2 and 3 and 4. And here we are sitting at issue 12 with two volumes and an ongoing series.
Yeah. And it's been kind of, it's been rewarding in and of itself to know that we can do this.
Yeah.
To know that if you have, again, the right opportunity and the right kind of skills, like preparations and all of that, that you can make it happen if you've got the right team, that you don't need an entire publishing force behind you. You just need your team.
Yeah.
And that's been rewarding in and of itself, to say nothing of like the reward of the fans and being able to make personal connections with everybody who reads the book.
Yeah. Oh, man, the fans.
They're amazing.
Yeah, it's the best part by far.
So tell me a little bit about the fans. Like, you know, there's this obvious, you know, I feel like dwindling conceptualization that, like, comic books are only for, like, you know, chubby, nerdy dudes. And that is going the way of the dodo very quickly, if not completely gone, and if not a misnomer like 15 years ago. You know, there's tons of amazing, creative female artists and writers and publishers out there right now. And, you know, your experience sounds incredibly positive. Like, you know, being able to sell out of a book, you know, at your first table, like, that's awesome. There's tons of people that don't manage that. You know, how has the, you know, I guess, how has the fan reaction been? And, like, how do you feel kind of the demographic of your fan breaks down, or your fans break down? Like, are you seeing a lot of young girls, or just a ton of guys, or, you know, people just that reflect yourselves? Like, what is that experience like?
It is literally all over the map. It's been one of the most fascinating things, because right as we were launching into this, just coincidentally, the whole Gamergate thing exploded about the fall of 2014, right before we did our first show. And so, and all that, you know, it's not like we hadn't all been aware of what, you know, of that kind of sentiment and that whole thing that had been going on for some time. And I have, but I really hadn't thought anything of it, because we were just in such a, I like to subscribe to this concept of, like, just be in your own world, do what you want to do, and don't worry about everybody else until they come knocking on your door, and then deal with it. Mm-hmm. So we, I was like, you know, I really wasn't thinking anything about what was going on, because we didn't come from the industry of comic books or anything. And so none of us, we were just, like, really focused on trying to make this comic book. We were just trying to get this thing out the door. And so when we got finally to Comic-Con, and then that Gamergate thing exploded, I thought, wait a second, are we about to get a bunch of weird, like, hey, you don't belong here kind of business? Mm. And I, because I was like, I guess this could go many ways. This could be really, this could be contentious or something. But we got to that show, man, and it was nothing but positive. And our entire experience this whole time has been nothing but positive. And we, our demographic spans from 8-year-old girls all the way up to grown men. Like,
and beyond.
I mean, the first person who ever bought our book was a dude, you know, like, we, because it's a great story and the art pulls you in. I mean, that's what would, that's why we sold all those books, is because the art, well, the art draws you in for sure. And Lisa's art can't be denied. But then also, I'm a dedicated person out there being like, hey, I see you're interested. Stop and let's talk about this. Let me tell you what's going on here. And it's a lot easier to convince someone that they should take a look when it's a, in a, when it feels like a third party telling you that you should, versus the artist or the writer telling you that you should. And so our triangle of three, being artist, writer, and producer, editor, allows me to sell them in a way that they could never sell themselves. And so it's functional, but also you don't really have to sell it very hard, because it's just good. You know, it's a really, really quality piece of art. It's good stuff.
I also think too that as creators, and I'm kind of speaking on behalf of the team, so if you guys are not down with this, let me know. But
Kelly, no, so you can speak for us anytime.
Okay. I think that, you know, as a creator and as a storyteller, you know that you are doing your job well when the people who are consuming your story and your creation are not just a bunch of people who are exactly like you.
Yes. Yes.
And I think that that really is the mark of successful storytelling. So the fact that we have this incredibly mixed bag of fans, to me, it really is just reaffirming, A, that we're making something that people like, which obviously as an artist, you're like, please like me. But we're also creating something that a wide variety of people are relating to. And I think that that's when you know that you are on the right track.
So I want to ask about some of the ancillary stuff. So I saw like on the website and on your merch site, you have the dragon kitties, which are like this science experiment gone awry in the books, which I thought were adorable. And that has become like a merchandising like avenue. And then you also have the little spell kit, which is sold out. Otherwise, I would have totally bought it for my daughter, who's really into stuff like that. But
we can
make restocking.
Yeah, we are restocking.
Have it back in stock soon.
Yes.
So,
stay tuned.
So tell me, like, you've gone like all out, like with the merchandising. You have pins and mugs, like really awesome graphic mugs and T-shirts, and like this magic kit or spell kit, I guess probably is a little more accurate. But you know. Like, how did you get into not just creating the comic book, but creating like a whole merchandise line?
Well, a lot of that is the genius of having Lisa K. Weber here at your fingertips, because she is not only an incredible artist, but she's a great graphic designer. And she also did textile.
I did.
Design for a long time. So talk about that.
Yeah, in a previous, like, because, you know, you never know where life is going to take you. So,
especially as an art major.
Especially.
Yeah. You got to paint them a rent.
Exactly. So I got out of school, and my first, you know, full-time job that I got was designing textiles for children's pajamas, which at the time I was like, man, I mean, I guess I just got to like pay the bills with this, but I learned so much. It's been a real useful part of my life, as it turns out, because certainly once we started doing this, I know exactly how to produce screens for T-shirts and tote bags. I know for hats, like to design for embroidery. Like I know how to do all of this stuff and how to prepare all of the artwork. And I know how to follow trends and what people like and what people would want to buy. So that all came very naturally because I had the experience of designing children's pajamas a million years ago.
I mean, the three of us very much live in this world, you know, so we love the hacks. We love creating these things. Yes. We like the aesthetic. We like the whole thing. Like, so the wanting to build out, these are really things we want to wear. Like, yes. We made flash tats because we were like, we got to get these flash tats for ourselves, you know, or like the T-shirts. You're like, oh man, we need cool T-shirts for us to wear, you know, and we just knew if we like it, then we think other people will like it too. And it's great because anything we think of, Lisa can be like, yeah, I can do that. It's like, great, you do it and I'll figure out how to pay for it. We'll work it out, you know? And so we talk about kind of, We are a publishing company, but there's an element to us in a way that's kind of like a lifestyle brand, in that it's the things that we are into. And we just are like, well, if we're into this and other people are into this, well, then we can just share with them the stuff we're into and they'll be into that stuff too.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of what our podcast is about. Oh, I like that. So we're going to talk about that now. Okay. So, Lisa, I actually have like a really odd question for you. So I read a lot of like esoteric literature and like things about sacred geometry and stuff like that. What did you like kind of look to or like lean on to create like the image, like how the magic looks like in the book? Does that kind of make sense? Like the kind of like iconic like symbolism and stuff that you're using, like especially on like the covers and like in the merchandising and stuff, that like I guess like symbolic language that you're using, like where did you look to for that?
Well, I mean, obviously I because it has the science fiction fantasy element to it, and we're in this future world where magic exists, I wanted to combine technology and kind of more ancient magic symbolism, which is how, you know, the kind of circuit board look, the magic that exists in kind of the corporeal world, looks combined with some more kind of runish type symbolism, so that you can have that feel that, yes, there's technology, but there's something more
organic.
Kind of, yes, organic, and something more kind of unknown to it. That was really it, basically.
So when when you're working on the book, you're moving forward to create new issues, you have the second volume. What direction are you going in the future with, like, just the whole story? Like, are you continuing to expand? Do you have an endpoint in mind? Like, you know, how are you taking the book forward?
Definitely expanding. There were a certain number of arcs that were kind of already planned when we started, but once you get into making the book and making the story real, it starts to take on a life of its own, and you start to see all these new kind of paths and avenues you can take to tell your story. So right now we are certainly ongoing.
Yes.
And expanding.
Yeah, we've got at least easily 3, 4, and 5 kind of in our sights for sure. Mm-hmm. And like we were saying, we love living in the world. And so until we reach some place that seems like
it's just
solution or like stasis it, yeah. or something, I don't know. We're just going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
So do you guys have other things that are boiling in your mind to, like, expand Hex Comics, like, as a publishing house, you know, other projects? Or are you like, we're gonna stick with this and then, like, maybe pull other people in to expand Hex Comics?
Well, no, we do have other ideas. We have tons, you know, ideas are nothing we're short of, but we currently have Divorce a Love Story coming out, which was written by Kelly Sue. And Kelly Sue, why don't you talk about that?
Okay, so Divorce a Love Story is, I mean, the title makes it kind of self-explanatory, but I right around the time that we were starting Hex Comics, actually, I went through a divorce.
Always fun.
Yeah, good time.
Life presents you with crossroads, man, you know?
Oh, I know. I've been there.
We've all been there, probably. And I remember going through this experience that, you know, it's not a breakup, but it's also not the type of divorce that so many books and movies and TV shows speak about. You know, we hadn't been together for 25 years. We didn't have children. We weren't grappling with selling a house or dividing up assets, you know? And as I was looking for supportive expressions, you know, supportive books or supportive comics or anything, any medium, I just noticed that it wasn't there. And so I had the idea to kind of start telling a version of my story. And then two more of my friends went through divorces. And I was like, I think that this is a really interesting area of our experience to sort of hover the microscope over for a minute. This idea that there's no such thing as a failed relationship, and that something that has a stigma for being a terrible, disastrous, awful, bad thing can actually be something that brings about a lot of good in both people's lives. And so that was kind of the impetus and the driving force for creating Divorce a Love Story. And what it's becoming is so exciting. I mean, having Lisa illustrate this story that's very personal to me, while it is largely fictionalized, is really a dream come true. And it is so beautiful. And I'm so excited to, very excited and very terrified to bring it out. Too.
We know there's no reason for you to be scared, Kelly Sue.
I think putting out any kind of, like, personal art, like whether it be writing or music or anything, is always scary at first until you realize that so many people, no matter how specific you feel like your experience is, so many other people have gone through it too. So it'll be awesome. I promise it'll be rad.
there's no question.
Being excited and terrified is kind of like the sweet spot for it. So I think we nailed it.
Yeah. If you're not on that edge, you're probably not doing it right. So
right. Well said.
So guys, tell me how, our listeners can find you, find the comic book, you know, get in contact with you to talk about this more. Like, you know, how can people find you on the internet?
Well, they certainly can. So you can always find us at hexcomics.com, which is HexComix, because, you know, we're edgy. Hexcomics.com. And you can follow us at Hex Comics on Facebook or in the Hex Comics. something else. I don't know.
Yeah, we're Hex Comics on Twitter, The Hex Comics on Instagram. Just search Hex Comics on Facebook.
Yes, and you can find us all those social media spots. You can also go to hexcomics.com and get on our email list, which is actually a really fantastic way to stay in touch with us as well, so that you know where you can find all the newest issues and also see what kind of cool stuff, you know, new stuff we're putting out, and also find out where we're going to be next.
Also,
I have a 2-year-old. Oh,
I have 4 kids. I can't tell you how many times they have just like run into the middle of like an important interview or just a plain old episode and like screamed like, "I pooped my pants," or it's totally fine.
I have to poop. It's so crazy. I'm too old for this. He is absolutely the most fantastic and adorable, smart little, just sweet, sweet little muffin. I can't even believe it. But he's not really good at stuff like this, like being quiet or doing things you tell him. Those are not his fortes.
I literally have myself shut in a room so that like the 2 kids and 5 pets won't bother me. So...
You understand.
I do. Know what you're going
through. Actually, I'm like, geez, man, you're doing a great job.
So
you got your hands full.
I do, but it's okay. I have a good team.
Oh, good. That's really, if there is any sort of theme of Hex Comics, it's all about collaboration and get yourself a good team.
Yeah.
None of the things that we do, we could have done individually. It took the 3 of us to come together with our complementary skills and our willingness to take risks and our friendship. I mean, everything that we've done, we just simply could never have done alone. And we cannot preach enough how important it is to have a good team and to surround yourself with people who support you and love you and will be honest with you and help you do what it takes to fulfill your goal in this life. Yeah, yeah, to be the best you can be.
You're like Voltron with an X because you're so edgy. No, before I let you go, do you guys have any more cons coming up? I know you guys were at San Diego. That's actually how I learned about you, is in the flood of emails that we didn't get to while at the convention. You were in there. I was like, holy crap, we got to talk to these people. But do you have any more upcoming?
We do. We're going to be at LA Comic Con the last week of October. That's our hometown show, so we always do that. We'll be there with Volume 2, and we should be there with Divorce a Love Story, which is exciting. So we'll be signing books and connecting with our local fans, which is our favorite thing to do, I should say, aside from making this comic book. And after that, we'll be at WonderCon. We are launching a Patreon page, which it's up now. We haven't done like our official launch because we're starting a vodcast, and it's going to be called Meet Me in the Hex. And the video will be free to any of our patron subscribers. The podcast will be available same day, but it'll be delayed if you're not a Patreon subscriber to get at the video. And let me tell you what, you're going to want to watch this whole thing. We have a good friend named Brad. Brad has turned my garage into literally a set out of the Hex. I did not ask him to do this. I don't know exactly why he did it, but he did. And so now what we got is kind of a, what we thought was just going to be us sitting around a table. I told Brad to clean out the garage, and what I actually got was an entire set built. And so we're going to have a little show. It's kind of broken into segments. We'll have and Kelly Sue, who is our Oracular Spectacular, and she does some tarot readings and some universal channeling.
Yeah, universal channeling. I'm going to put that on the business card.
Yeah, magic. And that's cool. So we're going to do some tarot. We're going to have interviews. We'll have guests, you know, people in the industry or just friends who we think have interesting things to say. And then Lisa, who is our local hexologist, she'll be mixing some potions, which are really AKA cocktails. And then we'll take Q&A from all of our Patreon subscribers, anybody who has questions to ask, we'll do some of that, and just generally give you access to the Hex and our good times, because we think we're pretty entertaining.
I think you're pretty entertaining. So.
Well, tune in. So we've got that going on. The Patreon thing, we're up there now, but we will do a launch. And then our plan is to do a launch. I think it's next week.
Yeah, in a couple of weeks, a week or
not
two.
Next week, but 2 weeks from now. Not this coming week, but the next week to try to get that stuff up and get it launched. And then we're going to, we'd like to, right now we're aiming for once a month, but ultimately it should be a lot more consistent than that. But we got to take things one step at a time because it's just the three of us trying to make something out of nothing over here.
Totally understanding that. Brad,
yeah. Yeah, three of us and Brad. And Brad over there. He's making stuff out of cardboard, man. Wait till you see it. It's pretty phenomenal.
I like to think that he was just like, surprise. Your garage is something else.
That's exactly what he was. It was exactly like that. I'm like, what do you, he was like, don't throw those boxes away. No, don't throw that styrofoam away. I'm like, okay, man, just you manage it, whatever. The next thing I know, he's turned all those boxes and styrofoam into a living room.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he does have a PhD in theater. So the man does know how to build a set. But yeah, so tune into that. And that is something that people should definitely keep an eye out for because it is not going to be short on entertainment. I promise you that.
Well, if this interview is any indication, all I can say to our listeners is go to hexcomicswithanx.com and sign up for their mailing list so that you know when their new Patreon page launches and when their new comic books are coming out. You guys, thanks so much for being on the show. You were genuinely super entertaining. So
Thank you so much for having us. And we're just so glad for you to share the word.
And, yeah. Just so you guys know, whenever you want to come back on, please let us know because these are the kind of interviews I like to do where I can just chat with people and they're not boring. So,
hey, fantastic. You're never going to get boring with this crowd.
Awesome.
That we can guarantee. Yeah.
Well, awesome. Thank you, Gabe. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Nerdy by Nature, a podcast where four Canadian nerds get geeky with each episode and enjoy every second of it. We love board games.
But I got the latest Legacy game today in the mail. I got Seafall, so...
Oh, I'm excited.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, Project Play coming up in November. USAopoly is bringing us a copy of Harry Potter Clue.
Did you see Stranger Things on Netflix?
Eggos.
I know. Okay.
We did. Is it just because you had dreams about her in your younger years?
No, since Alien 3.
Winona Ryder plays crazy so well.
She does. She's born for it, yeah. I would give her an Academy.
Rio. Oh, man. It's a mess. We saw right through the IOC and the 2016 Olympics.
Just the shoddy workmanship and things not working and falling apart.
Yeah, like that's unreasonable. I know it's a free venue and you know, once in a lifetime get to attend kind of thing, but...
Rob.
And my muscles were tensed, ready to grab the wheel in case it decided to, like, wrench itself off towards the guardrail or towards oncoming traffic or something.
Right. It's Chris.
Now, it is 5.3%. I can't really say that it's that high. It seems like it's lower.
Nathan.
I'll be a ski jumper because Great Britain doesn't have a ski jumping team. So he trained and trained and trained and became terrible.
I'm Elijah.
Pikachu.
F*** you all. They all truly and true. Ah. Jesus.
I know HQ. How much you love editing, so
that,
I'm just giving you
that was actually
another...
pretty good. We can just sail right into that.
3 minutes.
Share an internet high five feedback or just say hi. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Search Let Us Get Nerdy to find us. We need friends. Visit letusgetnerdy.com to subscribe to iTunes or Google Play. 4 out of 5 doctors recommended. I promise. Private feedback, high fives, and nerd love can be sent to hello@letusgetnerdy.com. We'd love to hear from you. Join us every Friday for a new episode, Nerdy by Nature. See you then.
Hey, this is Jason Lyles, George from Rampage, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Fucking 6-year-olds around.
Honestly, when you guys said that,
I just recorded and all it said was fucking
6-year-olds off.
Cut it, loop it, music. It's the new My Wife Has All My Money.
I'll be right back. I'm gonna rinse this down.
So when you guys said that there's a 6-year-old in the store, I honestly thought you were fucking with me and I did not see the 6-year-old. And then there was a 6-year-old in the store.
Buddy. You silly bitch.
Well, we go from all sitting around a table in a closed store bullshitting to, like, the first customer through the door is fucking 6.
Right?
Like, come on.
Come on.
Why does that happen?
Buddy, what's wrong with your pipes?
It's blocked.
Somebody's just taking a shit in the sink and smashing it down there for like a month.
Leave that going. Sorry, that's Bailey. She's just leaving you presents in the sink.
Just shitting in the sink.
Maybe Bailey, if you listen to this stuff, shitting in the sink.
That's funny.
All right, so my old man pick is like weird because it's old, but I just found out about it. So.
That an old man pick would be something old.
Well, that's the point of the old man pick.
Is it your birthday?
Because you found out about it before. Is your old man pick you?
Yeah, you're your old man pick.
I'm my old man pick.
I'm old. I used to hate things.
Now I hate.
Now I hate different things.
Now I hate a whole new set of things. This cord is so wiry.
My balls were above my fist. Now they're below my.
I hate these cables.
It just feels like I'm punching myself in the nuts over and over again.
The cables are so tangly.
Fuck your cables, Vaughn.
That doesn't sound anything like Gabe, and we're all doing it. It's like this voice is not Gabe.
Gabe is now one of the Canadians from Letter Canada. Paul's a tug tit fucker. How about that?
How about that now?
Side note, you look super Mexican today because you're talking into an American flag mic.
Is that what makes you Mexican?
That's what makes you super Mexican.
Because
the Mexicans who don't want to get deported have American flags fucking it.
Oh my god,
it's so true. It's so true. I love America.
I love America. We got the Mickey Mouse.
Don't you?
Don't you?
Disneyland. Hollywood.
Hollywood.
I love America!
4th of July.
I love you, 4th.
That's my shit. I love Budweiser.
You know, now that I think about it, the only Mexican that I know that buys fireworks is Juan.
Interesting.
Maybe call ICE and see if...
You can call it ICE, bro. It's okay.
I know. I don't know why I call it that.
Hashtag fuck ICE.
Yeah.
I read some article recently.
I see.
I lied. I read the title of some article recently.
Depending on who the source is, it's usually enough.
How Trump has radicalized ICE. And I was like, I blame a lot of shit on Trump. I don't think those guys needed radicalizing.
Yeah, I think they were pretty all in on their job already.
Yeah.
All right, so listening to the Chromecast from beginning to end, they had talked about several different authors that had written books in like the 20s and 40s that I had never like heard of and like never read before. And I was super excited about it. But one of the books that was actually really interesting to me was actually from the 60s or 70s. It's a series of books.
Back when you were just a Lee Whittle man?
Towards the end of the 70s is when I was born. But
yeah, I was born.
Yeah. Yeah, I was definitely not alive in the 60s.
That
but
was an old joke.
What? Anyway, so this guy named Fritz Lieber wrote these books called about this place called Lankmar. Lankmar is like the city of smokes, and it has like a thieves guild and like a fighters guild and stuff like that. And there's actually a Dungeons and Dragons setting for it that I had played through, not realizing that it was based on like a series of books. And so I picked them up. They're about
in the Red Sun universe.
No, they were in the Greyhawk universe. Oh, yeah. So, I picked up the first book. It's
really
called
for like 5 seconds.
Yeah, it's okay.
There was a point in the last episode where you guys start talking about Dungeons and Dragons and everybody's like, what?
So I picked up the first book. It's called Lankmar Swords and Deviltry. And it's about two characters. One's name is Fofford, who's like a big northern barbarian guy. And the other guy is the Grey Mouser, who's like a short, chubby, but like incredibly agile thief. Okay? And they're like,
It's draining.
Yay, it's draining. So the first book is three kind of short stories. It's like a 200-page book. The first story is like Fofford's origin. The second story is the Grey Mouser's origin. And then the third one is called Ilmet and Lankmar, which actually has been adapted into comic book form with Mike Mignola as the artist. It was like released by White Wolf, which means you probably picked it up immediately when it came out. Like you, not anybody else in this room. But
I wasn't born yet.
But, no, you would have been born. This was in, like, the 90s.
Dude. Oh, okay.
But the books, the books are like these this really cool mixture of like adventure, like fantasy, where like the heroes aren't really heroes. They're both thieves, but they're also like dead set against like defeating the thieves' guild. Like they're kind of like, you know, I don't know. It's like hard to explain. They're like rogue thieves, which is like a kind of a weird way to say that. But
from the inside.
Yeah, but it's like this really cool, just like
Captain Cold.
Yeah, they're kind of like overly top, over the top, like violent, but like really entertaining, you know, a little hypersexual because it's from the 70s. And like just they're a ton of fun. And it's one of those things where it came out decades ago and I'm, you know, I had never heard of it. Well, I mean, I'd heard of like the place, but I'd never heard of like the actual book series. Picking up the book series, it's just, I can say it's just as good now as it was 40 years ago. You know, it's super entertaining, really fun. 40 years.
Okay.
That's how old I am. Like, I don't know.
I hope you live to be the age that you look.
40. What? 89? How old do I look? I don't know how old I look. But I don't know. They're a lot of fun. I can't recommend them enough.
What are they again? What was the name of
it? It's called Lankhmar. It's Lankhmar.
Where can people find
it? Exactly how you would expect to spell it.
Yeah, you can literally find it on Amazon. Like, lately I've been
How big are these books?
They're like about 200 pages.
No, it's not that big.
They're not. And they're like short stories, too. Like, all of the, there's no novels. They're all short stories. And they've been, the guy that wrote them over the span of like 25, 30 years. So, like, Jesus. There's a ton of them. There's like 8 books in the series. Like, it's pretty interesting. Like, the thing that I've really enjoyed is, like, I've been listening to a couple different podcasts that deal with like books, you know, because there's so much out there that I haven't read that I want to learn about and stuff. But I signed up on a website called Thrift Books. It's just like a used bookstore online. And for every like $50 you spend, you get $10 in credit or something like that. Or it might be $100 or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I bought 4 books that they had talked about on the Chromecast for $12. Like with
it's
free shipping,
service, like I deliver a fuckload of their stuff.
Like it is, it's just really nice. Like if you want to get books,
you work for the man.
Not really.
Yeah,
I quasi work for the man.
He like works man adjacent.
Yeah,
that's his sweet spot.
They're about to fall asleep.
Man adjacent.
Dude, I'm on like 18-hour day, 12-hour day. Got off work, watched The Last Dragon. Fell asleep immediately after The Last Dragon. Woke up 5 minutes later, came here.
I don't know.
Going back to work at 4.
Go get some sleep after this.
Yeah,
that sounds horrible.
Nice. But yeah, the Lankhmar books are really fun.
Nice.
Like, I highly recommend them. The next book that I'm really excited to read, it's by a lady named C.L. Moore. They're called Jor-El of Jory, I think is how you say it.
Superman's dad?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, like it's... I think that's literally how you say it. But the books were written in the 20s. Like, and they're these crazy, like, female, like, protagonists that, like, just kicks ass all over the place and, like, super, like, proto-feminist fantasy fiction. Like, nice. It's just really cool stuff, so.
Which had to be very rare in the 20s.
Yeah. The lady actually...
It's rare now.
She actually wrote for Weird Tales. And she was making more money than guys like H.P. Lovecraft and like the guy who writes Conan, Robert Howard.
Okay.
Like she was, sorry, my brain just stopped right there. But like she was making more money. She was making more money than all the male writers because they didn't know she was a female. Like just her stories were so cool. I thought that was neat.
Nice,
so,
that's cool.
I'm excited. And that's one of the books that I got, like, in that bundle of $12 for 4 books. Like, you know, and you can pick up.
I like the way you think, so.
I think you pick up free shipping if you spend more than $10 or something like that.
Nice.
So, it's pretty cool.
Explains why I deliver so fucking many of them.
Yeah, sorry, Tim.
I bet they're heavy as fuck.
No, not really. Because I think, at least most of the ones I've delivered, it's like one, maybe two
like
books.
One or two books, yeah.
Pouch. Like, because I'll deliver, like, 5 or 6 to one house, and it's like one book in one bag.
Mm.
It's not terrible.
I like it.
It's already used book, so.
I like to send people 100-pound dumbbells. Up the mail carrier. It's really small. Why is it weighing so much?
Dude, Mel.
Small ones that always weigh the most.
Mel ordered like little like 5 pound dumbbells, and they were sitting out on the porch. And like, obviously, 5 pounds isn't very much, but it's in like a 3-inch by 3-inch by like 5-inch square box. I go to pick it up. I'm like, what the fuck is in this thing? Like
a giant dildo.
Yeah. I was like, that is the biggest dildo ever.
So has Amazon ever delivered so fast that it freaked you the fuck out?
Couple times, yeah.
Because I ordered shit Friday night. I'm pretty sure after the shipping deadline. And I came home this morning and it was there.
Yeah.
So it got there late Saturday night.
Like, I've definitely...
Someone shipped that shit out on Saturday and it got there on Saturday.
I will say that I have seen them deliver things freaky slow. I said I have seen them deliver things freaky slow.
I don't know. That was... It was just crazy, dude. Like,
you don't live on my route.
I've watched things pass me from in somewhere in the east. It passes Colorado and then comes all the way back. I was like, what the fuck? Why didn't you just stop?
Your stuff is in Greeley. Your stuff is in Florida. Yeah.
No, I've definitely had things that I felt like they came the next day.
Yeah,
like,
they did, definitely.
And I didn't order it next day. It just happened to come that
I had fast. To check. I was like, did I order that? Yeah, yesterday. Like,
it's crazy.
That butt plug came quick.
Yeah, right away.
That what?
Must have been used from somebody nearby. They just dropped it off.
Not it.
So how about you guys? What's something that you guys have enjoyed that's not necessarily current in like the last couple months? Because it's been a while since we recorded.
The Three Amigos.
The Three Amigos. I can't wait to watch that movie again. Like I said, I'm probably going to watch that tonight.
Since we've done this.
Yeah.
This.
Yeah.
Just sitting around.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I said yeah. I was agreeing to that.
I played an old video game.
What'd you play?
So World of Warcraft is releasing a new expansion right now called Battle for Azeroth. And they're going back to the roots of where the game started, where it was orcs versus humans. So I went back and downloaded Warcraft 1 and Warcraft 2 Tides of Darkness, which were like command prompt like age games, like pre-Windows 95. Like you needed to like mount the CD drive and command and then start the .exe file.
Yeah.
And then pray it ran. So... playing a little retro gaming, which is weird that you would ask me to go do this other thing.
Oh, yeah, that just came up incidentally. Yeah. So that's pretty a cool story. So I've been listening to this podcast called Oh No Lit Class, where they like review like literature that most
people like clit ass.
Clit ass.
That's our new show.
Oh no, clit ass.
Oh, what a weird mental image. You came in at an awkward time again.
Every time. I don't think she's ever had a normal conversation here.
Oh, man. But so I've been listening to Oh No Lit Class, right? God damn it.
Oh No Clit Ass.
They invited us on their show and we're making fun of it?
No. They had posted a thing that was, we are doing some special episodes. You're welcome.
What was it?
It's... Skate wheels.
Oh, okay.
They had posted a thing that said we want to do some special episodes. If you do something that's lit like literature adjacent, and you're willing to record like a 5 or 10 minute like mini episode, we'll do all the backside production if you just send us like the MP3 or WAV file or whatever. And I had posted I would totally love to do something about comic books, like maybe about pre-code comics or whatever,
like
you know.
Bookie.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk about Magnus vs. Robot Fighter.
I don't want to talk about Magnus Robot Fighter.
Book.
It is a great book. I just don't want to talk about it. But so a different guy, Facebook messaged me. He's like, hey, like really weird way to introduce yourself online, but how old are you? I was like, well, I'm going to be 40 on Monday, which is like the rolling gag of the joke.
He's like, too young. Yeah. Click.
Would you like some candy?
Well, he says to me, he says to me, do you have any experience with like Atari 2600s or like Commodores or anything like that? I was like, yeah, my friend had a
2600. The Commodores?
Not the Commodores. The Commodore.
Odd story, I do have experience with the Commodores.
Me too.
That's crazy. But he's
playing Commodore.
He's doing...
That would be amazing.
That would be amazing. He's doing a podcast that's about old gaming systems. And he didn't have anybody to do like the 2600, the Tandy, or the Commodore. And he said, you know, if you'd be willing to do the 2600, blah, 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 like, I'd love to have you do that episode. I was like, yeah, that'd be awesome.
That guy has nothing to do with the other
podcast. The other guy. Oh, okay. He just saw that I was willing to do bonus episodes with people. And then he's like, do you know anybody else that's into that? And so I posted that message on our group, and Tim was like, oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so
– I don't
be in the midst of a retro video game kick.
Right.
I actually like retro games more than I like – new games, and so I would have been in on it, but I the way I read it, it sounded like it was a play the game and then review the game instead of just blatantly talking about it,
About it, and he's wanting to do like a little bit of history of it, right, that kind of stuff,
which I don't have.
He said to me when he's ready to go that he'll send me the stuff that he wants me to research. Like, I mean, so there'll be a little effort put into it. But
I'm out.
The other thing is I think he's only going to the Super Nintendo and stopping.
Yeah, I was going to say, this seems like a very limited run.
I do have Super Nintendo.
Nice. There's so many good games on Super Nintendo. Like, games that still totally fucking hold up.
Super NES is probably my favorite system ever.
Legend of Mana. Played the shit out of that
still
game.
Star Fox for me still.
Oh, dude. The Mario Quest game. That game's fucking fun as shit too.
Street Fighter 2 Turbo. Like
Street Fighter was fucking amazing.
Yeah. Have you seen any of the Street Fighter 5 stuff?
Uh-uh.
Dude, some of the trailers for Street Fighter 5 look ridiculously good.
When I watch new fighting game trailers, they do look amazing, but they make me feel old as shit.
There's no way I could play
it. I don't think I can keep up with what's going on there.
I know that I can't keep up with what's going on there because I absolutely can't beat, like, first-person shooters.
Buddy, I'll tell you what. I went back and played Mortal Kombat versus the computer just to do a little campaign thing. It is fucking hard.
Dude, like, that game was hard as fuck.
Yeah. You squirt me and do the trip kick.
You know, the other
kills everyone. It's unstoppable.
The other thing that sucks...
When done correct, no can defend.
The other thing that sucks about the older games is it's not just about your ability to press the buttons in sequence. It's also about the controller's ability to recognize that you push the buttons in sequence.
I swear it's also about... if the computer decides to beat you or not. Because there were times in games like that where I had the guy, like, you can't even see his health bar, and I'm full, and he's like, you know what, beast mode.
That's how Street Fighter is, when you can beat everybody, and then M. Bison is just fucking the hardest fucking dude to beat. Yeah. You literally go in, punch him once, and kick back, and then try and do that all over again. It's fucking hard.
Except in Mortal Kombat, the guy before the last guy is the hard guy.
Goro.
Goro.
Goro's a beast, and then you get past Goro, and it's easy. It's like, what?
Well, like, Shang Tsung and goddammit, this is the main guy in Mortal Kombat 2.
Shao Kahn.
Yeah. So, like,
Shao Kahn was always hard to be the second
Shang Tsung, fucking almost impossible to beat.
And it was Mataro, I think, in that one. It wasn't Goro. I think Goro was just in the first one.
Yeah.
Did the first game with Shang Tsung? I thought Shang Tsung was easy and Goro was hard to beat.
No, that's what I'm saying. It was Goro and then Shang Tsung in the first one, and I think it was Mataro and then Shao Kahn in the second one.
Yeah.
Mataro shows up in Mortal Kombat 3.
Does he?
Because he shows up with the Lady Goro. Shiva or whatever her name is.
Oh, yeah. See, there's some shit I do know. The other one,
by the way,
anything about
in shameful females I don't want to have sex with, Lady Goro.
Yeah.
But Shiva's not. I think Shiva. No, that's Sindel. Sindel's the princess in purple. Shiva is the Lady Goro.
Like my two different people. It's so weird. You rub my nipples and pinching my balls at the same time.
Speaking of fighting games, the fighting game esports like mecha showdown thing just happened at EVO.
Oh, I saw that.
I don't know what it stands for, what EVO stands for, but it's like the fighting game esport like showdown of the year, pretty much. It's like the Super Bowl for that shit.
So I know when, like the week after we got back from San Diego, I was at a restaurant with Mel, and ESPN was playing that. Like, I mean, just straight up playing esports. Like, it's, you know, you had talked about it a few weeks ago. It's actually a big deal.
Actually has a financial stake. I don't know the full info on Blizzard's Overwatch League. I think ESPN either owns part of the league itself or they own one of the teams that competes in the league.
I know, because I know I was watching it on ESPN. I was watching Overwatch.
I don't know what the fascination is, but I know watching other people play video games is going to be fucking super popular.
Absolutely.
If you are invested in the game.
Little kids watch other kids play games on YouTube.
All the time.
I don't fucking get it. Just go play the game.
If you're invested in the game, it makes sense. Because, like, I can watch people stream Magic the Gathering or Path of Exile forever.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I literally just watch that all day because I'm like, I'm interested in those games.
No, I've definitely watched.
I don't know why it's interesting to me, but I watch watching.
Tom, a friend at work, will literally watch people play Call of Duty live. And I'm like, I don't get it. Like, wouldn't you rather be shooting people yourself?
I watched a live stream of Conan Exiles for like 2 hours one day. That's so just weird. So I could like see what kind of stuff that guy was doing so that I could go back and do it.
Also, dude, sometimes the streamers do make the shows.
It feels weird because you're so used to watching like regular sports. But you watch people play video games for all the same shit. You watch it for, like, the learning factor. You watch it for the fact that these are pros that can do shit that you can. And then the personality. Like, nobody would fucking give two shits about... Well, probably still would. But, like, baseball's pretty boring. Nobody would fucking watch that shit if the people announcing it weren't, like...
Fucking yesterday was goddamn preseason. I'm watching third stringers play football. I don't give a fuck.
Right? Yeah, Von Miller, you know.
Well, he was not a third stringer.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Didn't they play the rest of the first string demons?
The first string only plays for like a one series.
Yeah.
Sports ball, sports and balls.
Well, our sports ball team got fucked up.
Which one? The Broncos?
Not by that much. Well, like, they started yesterday.
Oh, is that what happened yesterday?
Like 40-something to 20-something.
But again, they were playing third stringers.
Yeah, it's like watching your retard cousins fight.
Backpedal back to video games.
I mean, not real retarded, stupid. Like dumb cousins.
So, back to video games.
Back to video games.
You almost said back to pedophiles, just so you know.
No, I was trying to say backpedaling.
Oh.
Because that's what he said.
Sounded like he said back to pedophiles.
Meant this time. I said the wrong thing randomly.
Yeah, that never happened.
So that guy invited you to this shit. But you don't know when it's going to happen.
I do not know when it's going to happen. But it's going to be fun, and it's nice. I'm liking going on to other people's podcasts because it gives me a chance to promote our podcast to like a totally different group of people. We Watched a Thing is coming up on their 50th episode, and for their 50th episode, they're watching all 8 Fast and the Furious movies, and then they're doing a drinking game for the last movie. Okay,
they said describe a worst day.
I fucking love those movies.
So they said, give us a call, leave us a message of your rule for the drinking game. And I get to say, hey, this is Gabe from Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. And my rule for your drinking game is you have to take a drink every time all 4 wheels of a car come off the ground. So they're going to be fucking hammered drunk.
Would have been whenever Vin Diesel gets out of a car and it pans into him just like slowly turning. It's every 5 minutes.
I was gonna do every time somebody gets into or out of a car. Like that's
just retarded.
Yeah.
I mean, on the cop scene when they're like everybody's on the road, you would just have to be like 80 shots. It was an entire podcast drunk themselves.
Dude, they released a clip from it, like a little teaser clip from it, from before they'd even started drinking, and one of them says to the other one, "It's like you're so fat that you not only went to KFC, but then you stopped at Dairy Queen on the way home because you realized you've forgotten to order a milkshake or something like that." And the other guy just starts laughing uncontrollably and goes, "I told you that shit in confidence." They're just dying because the story's true. It's like when Doyle tells us that he shit in a bag, like we're never letting that go. Like I would, if I stopped at 2 drive-ins so that I could buy a full meal and then also dessert, I would never fucking tell you guys. I've definitely done that too. But I don't know, it's cool. I like going on other people's shows. It's a lot of fun. So
they should come on our show.
I always ask people to come on our show.
We
watch a thing, guys? I'll hit them up.
A fun thing like that.
Dude, especially with Big Lebowski coming up.
We never do random shit. That'd be fun to do one day.
It'll be tricky because...
What does that mean?
Like a...
coming on the show? Just
a, like a movie marathon or some shit. Like...
We're about to do an episode where all we talk about is the binge watch Marvel shows we're gonna do.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
We fucking just talked about that.
More sleep deprived than normal.
I just want to cuddle up with one of those fucking cow skins and just...
Wow.
Oh.
Put the lotion on the skin.
I can sleep on that pallet right now.
I'd fuck me.
So, the end of our Comic-Con season is coming.
It's coming right now.
What are you talking about?
Our next trip is to Colorado Springs Comic-Con, where we will be staying in somebody's nice basement.
I don't know if it was a basement or if it was the guest house. I can't remember.
I don't either. I think, no, the one in Peyton was a basement.
Was it? I can't remember.
Juan will probably have his own room. I'll take the couch probably.
I don't know.
I like sleeping on the couch. Yeah. So.
Oh, wow. I was going to say, what makes him such a fan?
I didn't say anything.
I like sleeping on the couch.
I was literally going to sleep on the floor of the hotel room. I can sleep anywhere.
We did sleep in a bed together.
If you guys had a hotel room, why wouldn't you just get two beds?
We didn't get a hotel
room. I don't know. Why, Juan? Why would you get a hotel room with just one bed?
You want to know why? Because San Diego Comic-Con 1 is already fucking expensive. And then to get the two beds, you have to pay like $100 more. And I was like, fuck that noise.
That's probably pretty accurate.
They don't do like the roll-in bed like places?
No.
They didn't have one.
You have to pay for the twin bedroom.
Usually they're not anymore. But
they
I
are.
The jacket for a Comic-Con.
I did roll
I paid,
over on
I think
one.
We paid $200 a night for this little shitty room.
Actually, usually the one with like a king size
are
bed
you
is
serious?
More expensive.
Yeah, it's expensive.
Dude, I didn't pay that much for any of the places I stayed, and I stayed in pretty nice places. The first place I stayed was like the outside looked kind of crappy, but it was a nice room. So.
Yeah, they're all decent.
The second place I stayed was actually kind of cool. So,
but Colorado Springs Comic-Con.
Yeah, we're going to
that
next. So
I got my griefs with them, too, but I don't know how much I want to talk about that.
So this show comes out before that.
It'll come, you should.
Yeah.
So, yeah, message me, motherfuckers. Mission's open.
Just don't talk about free speech or anything else. Or hookers.
Go nuts.
Are you doing them for free?
If you want a hooker protesting freedom of speech outside Vision Comics on a comic blank, I'll do it.
Free. Or donation.
Yeah, free or donation. Check me out on Facebook. You'll see all the information there. I don't want to say it here because it's too much.
Like, it's... Okay.
There's a lot of posts.
So, Springs is weird. Like, Springs is a weird convention. And, like, I'm excited to go. It'll be a good time.
They're getting bigger. I'm going to go take a picture of Rey Mysterio. It's going to be amazing.
Oh, that is pretty amazing.
I'm going to leave you out of it this time, though.
Are you really? Oh, look how sad he gets. Come on, I love that little guy.
He just ruined his birthday.
Is he going to be wearing a mask, though?
Always.
He better be wearing the fucking
always.
Mask.
Always. I've only not seen him with a mask a few times. It's not been much, but he usually wears his mask all the time.
Nice. I'm super excited.
It's weird because it's another one where they don't... I'm not even allowed to contact the celebrities in this one, which is weird. I don't like that. Because then they're going to do maybe one or two press conferences, and then that's all of the real coverage. Aside from us
what
finding
we do
random
on
people
own.
On the floor. Yeah, it's really weird.
I tried to pull some strings for you, but they got a lot of that stuff sewn up contractually.
Yeah, that shit didn't work at all. Thanks for all the help.
Worked out for me. I got the placing I wanted.
Oh, man. I still have to send you a list of people that I want you to contact. Like, it's...
I'm thinking that...
Outside the long box?
I'm thinking that we're going to try and squeeze one more in next year. But I don't know if it's going to be an addition. Yeah. I don't know if it's going to be an addition or subtraction.
Come with me to Baltimore.
I don't like Baltimore.
I don't think we want to go that far.
I
think
your ass kicked for saying that shit there.
I don't give a fuck.
I think we're thinking Fan X, like in Salt Lake.
Fan X is a nice show.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get into that one.
And it might be like a, we don't do one show and do that instead.
We'll see.
So it's a replacement.
Correct. Yeah. That's what I said. I don't know if it'll be an addition or a subtraction to what we're already doing.
But we did get intentionally invited by Long Beach Comic Con to go to that. Like, you know, the turnaround time's just too close. Like, it's the beginning of September. We would have to pay probably like $1,500 just to get one of us out there on time. Like, but it's cool that people are starting to see that we do the work. So
we do the work.
Yeah. We do the work.
Do.
We got the meats.
No, you've got the meats.
It's going to be the end of our season, which is kind of crazy to think about.
And really close to our 100th episode.
Yes, that'll come in November if I remember correctly.
I got to call my tattoo artist and figure out what I need to do for that.
100. You guys should choose each other's tattoo.
No. We're getting the logo.
Oh, yeah. It's not going to be anything weird.
Okay.
Why would I do that? All I got to figure out is where I'm going to put it. I think I'm going to, because I have the one star over here, I think I'm going to put it right here next on my chest. That'd be
good. On his titty.
On my titty.
I wanted to do, it was originally going to be a little bit closer to the not so cold season, so I wanted to do something outside and just fucking throw a barbecue because I want people to be there, and everybody says, oh, I'll come if you're just fucking around, you know what I mean, if it's outside somewhere or something. And I was like, well, cool, let's do something like that. But
dude, we can find
it's gonna be cold.
We can find an inexpensive place to do that.
We'll take a look.
We'll figure it out, because that'd be awesome.
I want to try and get some raffles,
like a dinner somewhere. A fan dinner.
Well, I want to record, like, too, though. Often. I want to record episode 100 wherever we're doing, whatever
that
we're doing.
Let's do that, though.
It's kind of a good idea.
You go find it all somewhere. Do a fucking potluck.
I still want it to be super loud.
Dude, you'll be potluck, motherfuckers.
That's what I said. That's what I was thinking originally.
I have a really...
I will be a pot leaf, and then... But you should not spike everything with...
or do that sounds amazing. There's probably going to be kids there.
Everyone's just high as kites. Jesus Christ.
Fucking love to tell me.
Say anything. Meatloaf.
This fucking podcast.
No, I'm not the meatloaf, goddammit.
I jerked off in the mashed potatoes. You didn't hear that, though. Even though I just
felt it. Dude, we should totally do a confession booth.
God.
100th episode confession booth.
Who's gonna really give confession?
Well, not like it.
Everyone that listens. If you distort you can distort the voices.
I could
have a voice distorter.
No, we should do like a "What's your favorite TOTLB? What memory or whatever?" and like have like a little booth and like do a bunch of that stuff.
That'd be sick.
I'm trying to get. I want to reach out to people and try and get raffles again and try and get some prizes and things. So
yeah,
I'm trying to ramp up. We just need to find somewhere or find a rich friend in Denver who has a big house. And then we could do a potluck at the house.
John. I don't know how big John's house is.
It actually is pretty big.
And his basement is no longer full of comic books.
But he'll probably be at the store.
So you guys are thinking John. I'm thinking Mike.
I was thinking dinner.
The ghost of Kirk.
I've never been to his house.
He's got pretty nice house.
Does he?
He has to. He's white as shit. He has a front and a backyard. Dude, that guy has a nice ass.
I have a front and a backyard.
You also have a pretty nice house. Like.
That's funny. Wow, you're not invited to his house, I'm guessing.
He knows he's white.
You show up, he's gonna be like, oh man, the guy that mows the lawn came by yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck,
are you here to clean my pool?
Oh man, we'll reach out. We'll figure out something. But we'll do something super fun.
I don't know that episode. Nora would be like into what we do.
I think she hates us.
She hates us. I'm pretty sure.
I'm like 99% sure, because like
she can't stand that her husband's known as the midget. Every time that midget wrestling thing comes around, I'm gonna fucking post it on his wall.
Oh,
until
right.
He fucking comes.
And come he will.
What?
Comes and
I said, I feel
comes,
like he kind of got himself comes. That nickname.
He did. He absolutely did that to himself. But
all about Bridget.
Yeah, I don't think Nora likes us. I don't know Nora. She seems
like a really nice and tolerant woman. I just think she dislikes us.
She puts up with Kirk.
Yeah.
She's got to be a nice woman.
I can't wait till he hears this.
I love you, Mike.
Oh, man.
What about a library?
Yeah.
It has to be. It can't be in Greeley. Nobody will come over here.
No, you can get the rooms reserved.
Yeah, like a swap. Oh, oh, fuck it, whatever. We're trying to do something cool for episode 100.
We'll figure it out.
We'll combine it with a swap.
No, I don't like swaps. I don't like the CCB.
That's bullshit.
They bother me.
I was like, you should cut that out.
No, who cares?
Those are some of our fans.
Keith likes us. That's all that matters.
Keith. I really like Keith. Yeah, I'm just giving him shit.
Mike Murray doesn't listen to us because he loves Jesus. So,
who?
Mike Murray.
Oh, he does love Jesus?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Also white.
How much does he love him?
I bet that his house is legit.
I mean, nobody's fucking living in a tiny shitty apartment.
Yeah, but you don't pray to the God, you know?
That's true.
Oh, man.
Now we see what happens when you don't pray to the God.
Yeah. When you're white and you believe in the capital G God, You got a big ass, is what I'm saying.
So should we wrap this episode up since there's a lawnmower just going in the background now?
Seize the day and start a cult.
We should. We definitely
seize
should.
The day.
And then we can be on a podcast. Podcast.
Yeah, we can.
This is cults. Went wrong.
The cult of Conan.
Oh, God.
The cult of Crom.
Love that show, too. Anyway, so I guess, this should be episode 93. If the timeline stays the same.
Flashpoint did shit.
Look forward to some Colorado Springs Comic Con coverage.
Footage, too.
Yeah, coming up here.
I figured out how to get that shit off the GoPro.
GoPro went good?
Yeah. Actually, it did. We need to obviously be careful with a little more careful with the mic.
Right, because I was probably, like, touching it and stuff.
We were probably holding it over the mic at some points, but it is a little dark. We got to be wary of that, too, but it's fine.
Very cool. I'm excited to use that more, and... Yeah, look forward to Colorado Springs stuff. Look forward to our 100th episode. And the episode after Colorado Springs will be our very special We Caught Up on All the Marvel TV Shows. So if you want to participate with us in that, be sure to check out Seasons of Legion, Jessica Jones Season 2, Luke Cage Season 2, Punisher Season 1, and Cloak and Dagger. We'll post about it on...
The Runaways.
Yeah. Oh, I should write that down. Runaways. But the reality is our next pop culture classic is The Big Lebowski, and that's all I really care about. So
timing is not the issue here, dude.
It's going to be amazing. So, yeah. I'm Gabe.
I'm Doyle.
You always do this all weird.
I'm Tim.
I'm Juan.
And this has been the least enthusiastic.
You didn't say anything about our social media.
Oh, yeah, I didn't say anything about anything.
That's why I was saying this is all fucking weird. I didn't know what was going on there.
I don't have anything to interrupt. That's why I was saying it. Fucking ending.
Good.
Oh, what was the voice? These chords are so fucking whirly. I forgot about the fucking
that wasn't
media.
The voice.
I don't remember the voice anymore.
The voice was just standard old man voice, like, these cards are so annoying to me.
Fucking cards.
There it is. That's the one.
Whippersnapper.
If you'd like to make fun of how old I am,
you corn sucker.
If you'd like to make fun of how old I am, you can visit us at www.totlb.com. That's the easiest way to find all of our different social media avenues.
Cha-ching.
But you can find us on Instagram or Twitter at Outside Longbox, on Facebook at facebook.com/totlb. You can join our YouTube channel at tinyurl.com/totlbtube.
There has been a few more videos up that haven't really been announced anywhere else. So
that's true, yeah.
I put a time-lapse video up there, which is pretty crazy.
It was actually pretty fun. Yeah. You can email us pretty much anything that you want to talk to us about. If you're doing a project, you create comic books, you create movies, you create TV, you create music, whatever you're creating, if you want to share it with the world, hit us up at outsidethelongbox@gmail.com. And, of course, you can give us a call to talk to us about anything you've heard on the show at the Michael Kirk Memorial Hotline. May his white ass rest in peace. 970-573-6148.
I guess Nora got it.
Nora.
Yeah, definitely.
The kids.
There's a couple different ways that you can support us. You can go to amazon.totlb.com, and anything that you buy from
The Big Lebowski
gives us sense.
Go buy the Lanker, Janker, Ranker.
Lankmar. Yeah.
Lankmar.
Buy a pack of Depends and mail them to Gabe.
Please. That would be hilarious.
Juice.
You can pick up...
Buy his wife a dildo because his dick isn't going to work no more.
You can buy The Last Dragon. You could buy The Big Lebowski. You could buy Three Amigos. You could buy any of the books or comic books that we talk about, especially in trade form. Or, of course, you can go to patreon.com/TOTLB where you can get all sorts of exclusive content. And just... In general, fuck aroundery is a lot, as well as like some.
Hopefully, Gabe does that more.
Yeah, I know.
Come
Jesus.
On, Gabe.
I need to just retire.
So
but
that, so now that you're old, you're gonna get like a pair of New Balances, and then
lace them tighter than footballs.
I used to have a pair of New Balances.
Also, you can support us at totlb.com/shop.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Buy our shit.
I'm going to write that down really quick.
Do those mossy oak tumblers have our logo on them, or are they just tumblers?
They will have our logo on them.
What's that, dude?
I'm going to buy one, and then you can update the picture.
Yes, that's the only reason. She had those extra ones with our logo on them, and she snapped pictures of them for me. Nobody's bought the Mossy Oak ones, and that's why she hasn't been able to do it.
I'll buy one today.
I like the way you think.
Holla, holla.
Holla, holla, holla,
so
holla.
You can go to TLB.com. TOTLB.com.
He's got to put his teeth back in.
/shop. And you can... Motherfucker, you're missing just as many teeth as I'm missing, so kiss my ass.
That's true.
So much jizz in his mouth.
Gross.
It's not in my mouth. It's in my asshole.
And of course...
I was talking about Gabe, by the way.
Oh, shit, yeah. Yes, it's in Gabe's ass.
There's a tiny human.
Thank you for refraining. Oh, I love you, dude. See you soon.
Bye, Hannah.
I was the one refraining.
So, a couple days ago, we're in the car.
The gum is not in your mouth because it is all in your belly.
So, a couple days ago, we're in the car, and Mel goes, Hannah's going to be so pissed off, she probably cut that little boy's dick off. Okay?
Wow.
And Hannah in the backseat goes, Mom, don't talk like that around me. I was like, oh, this is amazing.
That's almost as good as the butt plug incident.
It is pretty good. We'd like to thank, on the note of butt plugs, we'd like to thank our Patreon supporters, Chad, Ryan, Derek, Doyle, Devin, Taylor, Jason, Steve, Christine, and Molly,
and
Mike. I gotta write down Michael. Mike's name.
Wait, so all of them are into butt plugs?
Yeah. Okay. Didn't you know that?
That's pretty cool. Or at least not out of butt
plugs. I'm sorry for the Patreon kerfuffle.
You didn't have anything to do with it, though.
But we just want to apologize still. There was a little bit of a weird disruption, but everything seems to be resolved.
That's what happens when you introduce technology to old people. I just can't get it.
I had nothing to do with it either. No. It was all on Patreon.
It was actually all Patreon.
Just reaching for old people.
It was weird.
Everyone should just pay with PayPal. It makes things easier.
No. I like Patreon because then you get cool shit.
Pay with PayPal.
No, pay on Patreon with PayPal.
I got you now.
There's a lot of puzz in there. Yeah, I know how that could be confusing.
Yeah, I donate to the Patreon. I'm not saying people shouldn't do that.
You should definitely do that.
You should.
All of you should go do that and go visit
all of you.
Loading sons of bitches.
Tim.
It's all of you.
Startling how much content exists that I can't watch, that I was a part of.
You know what's funny is that Gabe's in charge of that, and it's not startling how much content there is.
Oh, there we go. And we're good.
My leg's old, you know, he moves really slow these days.
It's true.
Not his mouth. His mouth's always good.
I know it is.
I do have a nice mouth.
The older he's getting, he's losing his will to fight back.
Wow.
It's just like
he doesn't even have neck muscles anymore. Fucked his face. Couldn't even stop me.
It's like retirement homes are basically just energy centers.
Oh, shit.
Gabe's just getting raped.
It depends you're gonna wear. I think that's a fucking subsection somewhere in a porn.
Oh, I know there's depends porn, yeah.
Odd looking dude.
Oh, I know, Juan. I know.
Hey, do you like scat?
Because
depends.
The story's good, Juan.
The story's good.
Hey. I can be into whatever I want to be into.
Yeah,
it depends. Are we done?
With that said, I'm Gabe.
I'm Juan.
I'm Tim.
I'm Doyle.
And this has been episode 93 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.